Blog Talk Radio.
I know I've been changed. I know I've been changed. You know that I know I've been changed. The angel in heaven done signed my name. I know I've been changed. You know that I know I've been changed. You know that I know I've been changed. The angel in heaven done signed my name. I went down to the water, and the water, it was so cold that it chilled my body. But it did not touch my soul. Oh, no, you know that I know I've been changed. You know that I know I've been changed. You know that I know I've been changed. The angel in heaven done signed my name. Sing it again. I know I've been changed. You know that I know I've been changed. You know that I know I've been changed. The angel in heaven done signed my name again. I went down to the water, and the water, it was so cold that it chilled my body. But it did not touch my soul. Oh, no, you know that I know I've been changed. You know that I know I've been changed. You know that I know I've been changed. The angel in heaven done signed my name. Sing it again. I know I've been changed. You know that I know I've been changed. You know that I know I've been changed. The angel in heaven done signed my name. The angel in heaven done signed my name. The angel in heaven done signed my name. Amen, amen, amen. Good morning, amen. Getting started today. Hope everything is well. I know God has blessed you this morning because we've had a chance to open up our eyes. Two blessings that was given to us this morning. Amen. Jesus is on the main line. Tell him what you want. Oh, I know my Jesus, he's on the main line. Tell him what you want. Oh, I know my Jesus, he's on the main line. Tell him what you want. You call him up and tell him what you want. If you are sick and you can't get well, come on and tell him what you want. Oh, I know that if you are sick and you can't get well, come on and tell him what you want. Oh, I know that if you are sick and you can't get well, come on and tell him what you want. You call him up and tell him what you want. For his line is never busy. Come on and tell him what you want. Oh, I know that Jesus' line is never busy. Come on and tell him what you want. Oh, I know my Jesus' line is never busy. Come on and tell him what you want. You call him up and tell him what you want. Amen. Give me a second there. Amen. Amen. Hope, trust, and pray. Get my tea here. The warm this morning. Hope, trust, and pray that God, that you are being awesome this morning, that you are feeling awesome this morning, that you are not letting the devil have his way in your heart. Don't give him an inch. Don't give him a toe into your heart. Be filled with the Spirit of God, for it's the Spirit of God that lights us, the Spirit of God that lifts us. It's the Spirit of God that elevates us. It's the Spirit of God that gives us the joy and laughter that God would have for us to have. You can't get sad folk to do what only glad folk will do. Hope, trust, and pray that you are feeling very well this morning. And in spite of everything that's going on, we've had inclement weather. We're here in Chicago. We've had tornadoes around the border of Chicago. It's taken out some housing and roofing and uprooted trees and et cetera, but by the goodness and the grace of God, we are still here. We're still standing, and we're so thankful for that. Want to welcome everyone to the Praise God Let's Talk About It radio show, and my name is Evangelist Michael Peavy here with the Golgotha Church of Christ sponsoring this show, and we're just so excited about things that we'll be talking about even today. I hope to have a good friend of mine, former employer of mine, but a good, just a down-home brother, John Peterman, on with me this morning, and looking forward to hearing some wisdom from him and just catching up with him on things that have happened over the years and how God has blessed him and blessed us and blessed the world by allowing us to be able to function in this world. But before we get started with that, I always have something on my mind. I'd like to try to pique your hearts with a little bit, prick your hearts a little bit, get into your mind a little bit to help you to understand the goodness and the grace of God. What occurs or what happens when clay gets breath? Think about that. What really happens when clay gets breath? This is part of a series I've been doing, Am I a Weed or a Seed? And first thing that we learn from the law of first mention is that we serve a God that is an orderly God. God is orderly. He's not out of order. He's orderly, and he sets order in place, and he sets protocol in place. Why do you say that? Because everything that God does is methodically arranged, and everything that God does is well ordered. God works according to a plan. Come on, somebody. You may think that it's just combustible confusion, but I'm here to tell you that it is working according to a plan, as well as God having a plan for your life, if you would allow it to be. God is not haphazard. God is not confused. God is not messy in anything that he does. Ooh, let me say that one more again for those that didn't pick that up. God is not haphazard. He's not confused, nor is he messy in anything that he does. There is a format, a protocol that God follows. First, God forms. And after God forms, secondly, then God fills. I hope you don't miss that, because you think you're filled, but you can't be filled unless God has formed. Come on, somebody. First God forms, then God fills. What occurs when clay gets breath? Well, if we take a look at the text of Genesis 2, just a snapshot, a quick extraction of the pericope of Genesis 2, verse 7, I would like you to see the fact that the Bible says, then the Lord God formed the man out of the dust of the ground and breathed the breath of life into his nostrils. Come on, somebody. And man became a living being. He became a living soul. So what did I say? I said, first God forms, then God fills. Look at the verse. Then the Lord God formed. God is a former. He's a potter. He formed man out of the afar, the dust of the adama, the ground, the earth, right? And he, pneuma, he breathed the breath of life, the nefesh, into the nostrils. God even forms nostrils, folks. Are you seeing that? He's formed you, formed nostrils. He's even formed nostril hairs. And God and man, Adam, became a living being, a living soul, a suke. So it took the forming of God. It took the pneuma of God, where we get the word pneumonia from, the breathing into this dust or this clay to become a living soul, the trichotomy of man. So the Lord God formed, the Lord God breathed into man, and so the forming of man and the filling of man equated to being a living soul or a living being. Let's talk about the soul of man here for a little bit. The Bible gives us two words or two terms for the soul of man. You've already heard me say it. The Hebrew word nefesh, which literally means to breathe. A decisive mark of a living creature is that a living creature breathes. Are you breathing right now? Or are you dead like Rover all over? And then there's the psyche, the life of man. The Greek word psyche, right? Mark 10:45, and the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his psyche and to give his life a ransom for many. There's two terms, the nefesh and the psyche, right? The breathing and the living, the life. Holistic anthropology of the Old Testament refers to God's finished created individual that is not only embodied, but also breathing. Again, let's read that text, Genesis 2:7. Then the Lord God formed the man out of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils, and man became a living soul or a living being. David goes on to write in Psalm 63:1, God, you are my God. Come on, somebody. Can you say that this morning? Now, can you really say that God is your God when you're hating your brother? Can you really say God is your God when you're not following the words of God? Can you really say God is your God when you really have not tapped in or talked to God anytime recently? David says in Psalm 63:1, God, you are my God. I eagerly seek you. Come on, David. I thirst for you. My body faints for you in a land that is dry, in a land that is desolate, and in a land that is without water. David's pouring out his heart about his God and how with every fiber of his being, he needs him, eagerly seeking him, thirsting for him, body literally fainting because he's dry, he's desolate, and he's in a place without water. But verse 2 of the 63rd chapter of Psalm says, so I gaze on you in the sanctuary. Lord have mercy. There is a purpose for the sanctuary. There's a purpose for the gathering together, and even we're on a cyber sanctuary. There is a purpose for the ecclesia. There is a purpose for the gathering of worship, the gathering of prayer in temple format. And as we are the temple, our temples need to gather together as multiple temples, so we can serve God. David says, so I gaze on you in the sanctuary to see your strength. Not only your strength, but also your glory. Boy, that's powerful. Because in many aspects of our life, we have forgotten that God has the final say. We have forgotten that man may be powerful in some of the stuff he has or with the money he utilizes or whatsoever else, but that ain't got no power on God. Have you ever seen a rich man get buried with all his money? Buried with all his things? Have you ever seen it, all his stuff and things follow the hearse? There are a time when we're born, and there's a time when we're died, when we all are on the same level. And it's what we do with that time in between. Counting time, but are you making time count? So he says, I gaze on you. I look on you. I look intently on you. I look with amazement on you in the sanctuary. To see, I'm looking with purpose. I'm looking and I'm seeing and I'm analyzing and I'm recording and I'm recognizing and I'm shouting for joy and shouting for exuberation because I see your strength. Man may think he has his foot on my neck. He may think that he's got me in a situation where I can't breathe. But God, your strength has brought me to 58 years. Nothing good about me, nothing good about nobody else. It's the strength of God that helped navigate me through some of the difficult times of my life. And it's that strength that I still am counting on today. But not only your strength, your glory. Do you know that we serve a glorious God? Do you know that we serve a God that is full of divine, that lives in the heavenly realm, that has a celestial choir that sings to him? And from this pinnacle of heaven, with eagle eye, he looks down on this ghetto earth, and he finds glory in his servants following him, in his children. God's strength is magnified in our lives. But are you allowing your life to magnify the strength of God? And are you allowing your life to glorify God? Look at David in 63rd verse of Psalms. Verse 1, God, you are my God. Personal pronoun. You are my God. You may be a God of many others, but I need to claim you for mine as you claim me for yours. You are my God, and I, because you belong to me, my commitment to you, my dedication to you, my energy for you, I eagerly seek you, diligently looking for you. I thirst for you, nothing without you. My body has no strength. My body faints for you in this land that is dry, desolate, and without water. But you give me eyes to look up. You give me eyes to gaze on you. How do you see God? Or do you see God? That's the question this morning. How do you see God, or do you see God? He says, I gaze on you in the sanctuary. To see your strength and to see your glory. The soul, the life or the being of God, of man, of God in man, is the ultimate source in man of God. Without God in you, you are desolate, dry. Brittle, without water. The desires of man. Look at that. The meaning of our desire. Turn with me to Psalms chapter 25. Psalm chapter 25. Knock my glasses over. I gotta get my peepers now. Getting a little older, you gotta wear these things. Psalms chapter 25, verse number 1. And the Bible says, unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. Unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. Look at the desire of David. Look at the desire of David. He goes on to say, oh, my God, I trust in thee. And let me not be ashamed. And let not mine enemies triumph over me. Where is your desire for God today? Where is your heart for God today? Turn to Psalms 42. Psalms chapter 42. verse number 2. Psalm 42, verse number 2. The Bible says, my soul thirsteth for God, for the living God, when I shall come and appear before God. When we come together, do you recognize that God is there? When we gather together, do you recognize that God is present? My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. You know, we have a God that is living, not dead. We serve a God that is living and not dead. So our desires indicate what God truly means to us. Let's look at Genesis chapter 12, Genesis 12. And Genesis 12, verse number 5, if you would. Indulge me for a minute. Genesis chapter 12 and verse 5. Our personal and our individual being must be connected to God. Genesis chapter 12, verse 5, and Adam took Sarah, his wife, and Lot, his wife's brother, Lot, his brother's son, and all their substance that they had gathered and the souls that they had gotten in Haran, and they went forth to go into the land of Canaan, and into the land of Canaan they came. When you trust God, you'll go on a journey with God. You'll make a decision for God, and you will leave sometimes your own people or those that are around you. You will drop an old life to take on a new life, a new beginning with God. It's required. You cannot put new wine in old wineskins. Let's look at Leviticus chapter 2 and verse 1. And when any will offer a meat offering unto the Lord, your offering is unto the Lord. Your life is unto the Lord. His offering shall be a fine flour, and he shall pour oil on it and put frankincense upon it. And he shall bring it to Aaron's sons, the priests, and he shall take thereout his handful of flour thereof and the oil thereof with all the frankincense thereof, and the priest shall burn the memorial of it upon the altar to be an offering made by fire of a sweet savor unto the Lord. This was what they did in the Old Testament. They burned it on the altar. Jesus is our altar today. So when you take your offering, when you take yourself, when you take your desires, when you take your truth, when you take who you are and you lay your life on the altar, when you come clear to God, and God burns up all what is no longer good, how do you smell to God? Bible says a sweet-smelling savor. God likes sweet-smelling favor. But are we sweet-smelling to God? So not only must our desires have meaning that indicates direction towards God, our trust and our commitment and our dedication and our very motivation, but our actual being, our actual physical individual self, our actual life must be burnt up on the altar of Jesus, in substitution of Jesus. Just like it was in the Old Testament, where you laid that on the altar and they burn it all the way up. for a sweet-smelling savior. Because God, in his proverbial nostrils, remember he made man with the nostrils, we made in the image of God and likeness of God. God, with his nostrils, smells you. And the question is, how do you smell to God? What is your intent? What is your individual life to God? A person that is a streetwalker, a person that is homeless, that has changed their life and given themselves to God, they may not be cleaned up physically from the outside. They may still have some issues from the outside, but they've allowed their life to be burnt up, and they've given their life to God. And they have a sweet-smelling savor to the Lord because God came to save sinners, those that need God's help. See, some of us are too proud to beg. Come on. I ain't too proud to beg. I ain't too proud to ask God for forgiveness. I ain't too proud to allow God to see my idiosyncrasies. And no, he sees them anyway. I can't hide them from him. But I got to take the covering off my mind and allow God to be God in my life. Turn with me to Leviticus chapter 11, verses 44 and 45. Leviticus chapter 11, verses 44, the Bible says, Leviticus chapter 11, verse 44, the Bible says, "For I am the Lord your God. You shall therefore do what? Sanctify yourselves." Come on, somebody. You got to separate yourself. You have to be holy in everything that you do. No, come on, let's read the text. "For I am the Lord your God, and you shall therefore what? Sanctify yourselves." Our meeting this year. In September, Pop's going to come in. He's going to be talked about, are you sanctified or are you cranktified? Looking forward to that. Lord have mercy. But this text says, "For I am the Lord your God." So if God is my God, then he says, "You shall therefore sanctify yourself." By me claiming God to be mine, there are a prerequisite or there are requirements to having God in my life. Sanctification is one of them. I'm going to sanctify myself. And I may be, and you shall be holy. I must be holy, not W-H-O-L-Y, but H-O-L-Y. For I am holy. In order for us to have communication with God, in order for us to commune with God, that which is holy communes with that which is holy. So if the God in you is not holy, greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. If Satan is your God, you ain't communing with God. But if the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit of God is in you, that is holy, is cleaning you up, and that's what it connects to, the signal or the frequency of God above, then therefore from I am holy, you shall be holy. Holiness is real. Holiness requires sanctification. You can't do what you used to do. You can't say what you used to say. You can't live like you used to live. You got to quit being fraudish, and you now need to start giving God frankincense. Amen, somebody. Look what he says. Verse 44 and 45, "For I am the Lord your God, and you shall sanctify yourself. You shall be holy, for I am holy. Neither shall ye defile yourselves with any manner of creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. For I am the Lord that bringeth you up." Hold on, you didn't wake yourself up this morning. You didn't man up this morning. God woke you up this morning. It wasn't an alarm clock. It was God's God. Notice what he tells Israel. "For I am the Lord of God that brought you up out of the land of Egypt." And some of us are still in Egypt, still under bondage. He says, "Has brought us up out of the land of Egypt to be your God. And you shall therefore be holy, for I am holy." God will deliver you from your desperate, unconscionable, oppressive situation. But when he takes you out, he comes with commitment to him. And then let's look at the emotional state. It's got a little bit more, and then I'll get to our guest who's here with us today. Can't wait to speak with him. But not only are we talking about the soul and the life and the ultimate source that's in God, that's in man, that God has given to man, that the meaning of our desires. We talk about Psalms 25, verse 1, Psalms 42, verse 2. Our personal individual being, Genesis 12, 5, and Leviticus 2, 1, and our conscious selves, Leviticus 11, 44, and 45. But we also must recognize in our soul is the emotional state of man. We must have our emotional state together. Turn with me to Genesis chapter 26 and verse number 35. Genesis chapter 26 and verse number 35. The Bible reads, which were a grief of mine unto Isaac and to Rebecca. What's your motivation? What is your emotional state? How do you move? Are you full of grief in your mind? Or are you full of goodness in your mind? Are you full of grief in your mind? Or are you full of God in your mind? Are you full of sadness in your mind? Or are you full of gladness in your mind? What is your emotional state? Because we got to turn our grief into joy. There is something called good grief. And that only comes from God. Let's take a look at Job. Y'all know about Job now. Job wasn't no joke. Job chapter 21. Job chapter 21, if you would, and verse number 4. Job chapter 21 and verse 4. As for me, Job says, remember, Job's now answering. He says, as for me, is my complaint to man? And if it were so, why should not my spirit be troubled? Powerful line, folks, because everyone wants to complain, but we don't want to be committed to God. I've told you time and time again. Quit allowing man to rent space in your heart. Tell him the lease is up. You got to get out. Because God wants to take residence in my empty space. And when God takes residence in your empty space, your empty space now is full of goodness, full of grace, full of light, full of rid of darkness and full of goodness. Job says, is my complaint to man? So we spend all our lives complaining to man. Can or will not do nothing we want him to do. But why don't we take our complaints to God? Because we have the privilege of God that will help us to make it through our times of struggle. What's your emotional state? One more. Let's look at Ecclesiastes 7 and verse 9. Ecclesiastes 7 and verse 9, be not hasty in thy spirit to be angry. For anger continues to rest in the bosom of, we'll read that one more again. Be not hasty in thy spirit to be angry, for anger resteth in the bosom of fools. Ecclesiastes 7 and verse 9, and you know that text is talking about a good name. God don't want you to be foolish. He wants you to be wise. Are you wise or are you otherwise? Remember he talked about the 10 virgins? 5 were wise and 5 were foolish. Foolish means they didn't have their lamps They weren't prepared. They didn't have their lambs trimmed. They weren't ready for what was in store. And so when it came, they were left behind, still scratching, still trying to get to some. Interesting. We must recognize that very thing. I'm going to pause here for the worthy cause because we have my good brother John Peterman, is our guest this morning. I'm so glad to have John with us today because, man, I used to work for John back in my Xerox days, in my Canon days. No, he was a Canon. And I was a floater for over 13 sites, and he was in the advertisement area. And, man, I came over there, and we was able to connect, and John is a giant among men. And I want to introduce, I believe he's somebody that you need to talk to, somebody you need to hear from. And I'm just excited today to welcome, introduce to others, and present the song, a good friend of mine, a brother from another mother, Brother John Peterman. John, are you there?
Yes, I am. How are you, sir?
I'm doing well, my brother. How you feel?
Well, I'm happy back, choice. Good to be with you.
Amen. We were talking about church hurt and teachers and scriptures and, you know, raising children, how to make kids, how to help youth to improve. And, man, I was so excited because I thought about you, and I just remember the time that we spent back at Draft, you know, and matter of fact, I think I had a birthday at one point in time. My wife had you and Brandon come over, and y'all would chat me with my Lakers stuff. And we had a great time there. But I just want I just believe the life that you've lived, man, is an example and an ensample to so many, especially as us as black and brown men, men of color, that we have to be magnified even more. Many times we get lost in the tapestry of the work world, and sometimes they want to bury us for real. But, you know, you can't cover up what God is shining with. And so I'm just so glad to have you as a guest here this morning on the Praise God. Let's Talk About a radio show. Why don't you introduce yourself a little bit to the audience, my brother?
Amen. So, again, thanks a lot, Brother PV. I really appreciate this opportunity. My name is John Peterman. I just thank and praise God for Brother PV, well, actually he's Minister PV, Man of God PV. So like you said, our connection was through the workplace, and it's no better way to actually learn about a person than through the workplace, because in the workplace you actually get to see or live day to day with the person, and you go through good times, you go through bad times, you go through trying times. And so I actually got a chance to do that with Mike TV for a number of years. And as we were actually even talking on the phone about a lot of conversations about church, because I'm sure if anybody have had an experience in being in the church community, they've dealt with different types of hurt. And so, and just like you deal with hurt, but I think more than anything, sometimes people, the hurt overshadow what God actually wants to put a lot of times in people's lives. So, we went through, my wife and I, we're just really blessed. Been married 42 years, and kids are grown, out of the house, very productive citizens. My daughter Jay, she's a PhD film and media professor at Georgia State University. My son Jonathan, he's grown up on his own. And so to PB's point, we all grew up in the church. And in growing up in the church, we went through a lot of traumatic experiences. And now I can see that it wasn't about the traumatic experiences more than getting an opportunity to learn that going through those traumatic experiences, it gives you an opportunity to have spiritual fortitude and share actually with others.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You talked about your son, Jonathan, man. You didn't really open it up about Jonathan, man. What's Jonathan doing nowadays, man?
So it's so interesting because Jonathan left his heart. He actually was born 1 pound, 9 ounces, and he went deaf.
Wow.
But God blessed him to now he's actually living on his own. He graduated from Rochester Institute of Technology with a degree in engineering, CAD engineering. And now he actually he's actually working in Wisconsin, Delvin, Wisconsin, for Illinois School for the Deaf, but also in the community. Jonathan's actually on the Wisconsin State Board. He's actually working with the deaf community, so he's actually working with Governor Tony Evers.
Yeah. And so, man, it was so impressive, man, over the years, because here you had a daughter that was thriving, and was going here and there, and you had a son that was deaf, but he didn't let his infirmities define him, and now
right.
look at the outcome of what God has done through his life, man. And
right.
I remember being there through his puberty years and et cetera,
right.
and getting
right.
it going.
Right.
But I'm just so glad to see this brother, man, and hear of the glory of God coming through. But see, it's only because he had a family, he had a mother and a father that was steadfast, unmovable. And in spite of what was going on, would not let go. You guys were like pit bulls on them, making sure that they understood some various principles. And I think that may be what's lost in today's society, John.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Right. But it's interesting you say that, PV, because even now, believe it or not, Jonathan really loves the Lord. And even through a lot of the circumstances that he's going through in his life, you could really attribute it back to the training that he actually learned in Bible class, because that's what it teaches you. In other words, Bible class really teaches us the law of the Lord, teaches us things that we deal with in life. So in other words, it's the good, the bad, and the ugly. But a lot of times you don't really but it's just one part is intake of the word, and then the next part actually is execution. So, but you don't understand it because it reminds me of that scripture where it simply says that through the Spirit, Jesus was led into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. So I think that with the ills or the things that we think that's bad actually happening to us, could actually be a blessing actually in disguise.
It really is, because many times we don't understand that other folks are watching us. And we don't see the fact that we're looking at what we're going through, but we're not seeing how God is using us to bless somebody else.
Amen.
Go ahead. Mm-hmm.
Go ahead. No, go ahead, Phoebe.
No, that's one of the things that really amazed me about him, because this brother was unflappable, man. He was not going to stop at letting nothing keep him from getting to his goal. Sure, he would trip over here or something would happen here, whatsoever else, and he'd come back to dad and get dust it off, get back on, get on the horse,
right.
You know.
Right.
You know. And right. I just used to crack up because I'm like, man, this brother, it was because of that. Dog, that dog, you got to get it type of mentality that we must know as men, we must learn as men that, you know, you can't fall off, you got to keep going. Man, now look at the achievement he has. Now, what happened if you just patted him up and said, okay, well, you know, why don't you sit down for a minute and whatsoever else? You know, you wouldn't have that. You would not have molded and sculpted him to be what he is today. So the Bible says train them up in the way they should go.
Right.
Man, it's just, I was able to watch that from a peer's point of view and really see some great stuff come out of that, man. And, you and your wife have been an encouragement not only to this ministry. I mean, the early parts of this ministry, man, you called, matter of fact, even recently you called and said, man, I got a car. If somebody need a car, let me know, and we'll try to work some stuff out for them, you know. And
amen.
So, you always have done, have been that way, and that spirit, that permeates, the spirit of God that permeates beyond the walls of any brick building or any vessel, is something that where spirit connects to spirit. And I remember, man, we're down a draft and we're working, but we're talking scripture and enlightening people, and boy, they used to love to come down there to see what was going on.
Amen. And another thing, just even to add to that too, PV, about, like you said, just the ups and downs of like Christian training and being in Sunday school, if we get it the right way, all Sunday school does is give us an opportunity to learn about life principles. And then so once we learn about the life principles, we get to go out in everyday life and practice the life principles. But a lot of times we look at it backwards. We look at it from the perspective of, well, I can't wait to actually get back to church, when it's really not about getting back to church. Getting back to church is a matter of doing what God commanded us, and that he does not want us to forsake the assembling of ourselves. So once we come together as believers, we're empowered to go out into the world. So like you're saying, Brother Evie, we were fortunate to be able to see for a certain amount of time each other's lives, and how, again, I call it the good, the bad, and the ugly. Because another example about even with my son Jonathan was that when Jonathan actually ran track in high school. And so in his first track meet, he was actually on his way to the track meet. So he texted me. And when he texted me, he said, Dad, he said, I'm going to this track meet. He said, and I'm nervous. And so I said, Jonathan, I said, I texted him back. I said, did you practice? And so he said, yeah. I say, well, do at the meet what you did at practice. And he texted me back. He said, wow, Dad, that's powerful. And so he got the instructions from me. And then when he went to the track meet, he was very, very successful. And eventually in track, he actually went on to be very, very successful even in track too. You know, so matter of fact, in his high school, he actually went to the sectional, you know. So again, that was another.
Come on, John. I didn't know that.
Yeah, it's just another perfect example of just how, again, you know, when you just lock in and just stay focused, you're able to actually get certain results.
Amen. 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 There's another aspect to that, because, I mean, it's interesting. They always say that, you know, if one faculty is gone or is taken away, then you find strength in other areas. What do you find his strengths to be? Where did you find his strengths to be when he wasn't able to hear? I mean, he wasn't able to hear. I had that backwards.
What his strength is, PB, what I really realized about Jonathan is, I guess by him being deaf, Jonathan had to learn how to simply observe things around him and ask questions. I'll give you another perfect example. So Sister Jade from second grade, she always had a book stuck to her hand. So So she would read. So she was always a student. And so Jonathan was observing that. So one time, he had to be about maybe 9 years old. And so we were honoring Jay. And so he asked us, he said, what's going on here? You know, and so we signed to him that we were honoring Jay because she works hard. So he was like, oh. And this was at 9 years old. And so once he realized that we were honoring Jay for hard work, Jonathan put that in his spiritual reservoir at 9 years old. And so he has the ability, even though he can't hear, he has the ability to look and think about the things that's actually around him. And the things that he don't understand, he asks questions.
Yeah. Yeah, that's powerful. Where you know, you figure out how to function in, you know, you still can make it through. You still can function. You know, okay,
right.
Well, I'm not able to hear, but that don't mean I still can't do what I need to do and still live a very prosperous life accordingly. So that's just important. Now, let's talk about Jade a little bit. She's always been successful, always been that go-getter. You know, what are the parallels you see with her with her mother?
And so Jade has been the type of person to where extremely a passionate person.
Yeah.
And initially she was very, very somewhat like an introvert, but very, very creative. In that, because the first part is intake and the second part is actually execution. So when Jade and Jonathan was growing up, we didn't really have that much money. So one of the creative things that we would do, one of our favorite things to do, or two favorite things to do, was back then they had the dollar show and then they had Borders. And so even though we didn't have money, I got the opportunity to expose them to vehicles that would actually help them develop their heart and their mind. And one of the things that I would do, too, when they were younger, I called it the North Shore crawl, where I would start, like, downtown Michigan Avenue, and I would drive all the way up north, up to, like, about Northbrook, where I would just by default, just exposing them to things that were better than the circumstances that we were around. And so it's interesting. So Jay was back here maybe it was a year or two ago, and we were going up north doing that same drive. And she said, Daddy, you know, you just don't know how much that influenced my life. And you just asked us on those drives to actually just expose their minds to something bigger than where we were.
Giving them vision. Helping them to dream. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, not being satisfied where you're at, but being able to dream and continue to see that there is a world outside of our world, and this is the world you're going into, and you can have anything you want if you work for it. That's so apropos, man. And then what are the parallels between her and her mother?
And so the parallels
your
between
wife,
her
Cindy.
And her mother is Cindy is just like Jade, so she's the type of person to where if you don't know her, she's very, very stoic. But once you get past the surface, oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
I mean, a whole nother world. You know what I'm saying? Vision, I mean, artistry, I mean, just creativity. I mean, just all the above. And so I'm really a blessed man, PD, because just they say that opposites attract. And so that's truly what it is because we're so different. But I guess God knew what he was doing, you know, making us different because I used to always say if both of us are alike, one of us is not important. And so, but what I've learned to do with Cindy is to tap into her uniqueness. And so, and it's the same thing with Jade. I mean, she was, just really delicate. You know what I'm saying? I mean, you know, but yet powerful at the same time. So I guess if it was a scripture that I would liken to that, the Bible says that concerning the Davidic covenant, he said it was a tender root that came up out of the dry ground. So that's what I see the parallel with Cindy. They're like tender roots that just simply come up out of the dry ground.
Amen. Amen. I know it's a beautiful hodgepodge blending that God does, and I like how you always use that expression opposites attract, but sometimes they detract, but these attract and they also produce and the production and the fruit it came out to be, you know, some wonderful children that are now grown of their own and are now making their marks on society today. It's got to be, now you get to step back as parents and say, wow, you know, we had a part in this when God had, you know, when God really is, if you train them up right in the way they should go, then at some point in time, they will start to have a faith of their own and start to learn about God themselves and develop that relationship with God themselves. So I've always been amazed at that. I'm always wanted to, you know, we definitely want to commend you on that. I don't know how much praise that you've gotten it, but I know from my little kaleidoscope view, I saw it and I was just like, man, this brother needs to be commended. While we were also at draft, you had an understudy there who was a man. This brother was a computer whiz, and I was blessed because here I'm in the middle. I come in with much of experience. But I'm coming in, you know, in John's situation, who had an incredible amount of managerial experience and how to interact with people and how to deal with problems, and so much so that they trusted you. I mean, the management of that company trusted you, you know, with whatever needed to be done and never needed to be said, so we could get it done. And then we worked according to that up under your leadership, which was powerful because we recognized that the company we was working with. The leadership that we were up under really wasn't that much of a leadership, but we're not going to get into that. But definitely it was the fact that, you know, your integrity of in spite of what you've had to deal with and how you had to buffer, you said, no, we're setting a standard here that's going to be. And so, man, when other facility management spots closed, it was because of the high marks that this one continued to fly through. And so, man, it was such a blessing. But then you had another brother there that was younger, that was a computer whiz, that, you know, man, he knew his stuff, but he was hurting inside, and he had lost his father. And, man, I just got to be there for that, man. Just God does these things for a reason. You just never know.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just amazing that here's, you know, some almost, what, 14, 15 years later, man, we're still connected, because it wasn't about the position that we were in. It's about the spirit that God had in all of us, and that's, you know, that's even with him. But I mean, some of the difficulties you had dealing with him, and how you kind of helped get him through, because he needed a father-like figure, and you know, he fought against it for a minute, but then when his dad did pass, he had to succumb to it because he needed it.
Amen. It's interesting that you say. I really appreciate your reference. PV, because again, a lot of times we don't know what situations that life will actually put us in. So to even give a little bit more context to that situation, this young man, the company had kind of gave him false expectations because they led him to believe that he was going to actually get the position. So that added just that much more to what I was actually coming in to do as far as like what my responsibility actually was. And so it was a very, very intense situation. But like you said, PV, but in everything you have to be able to look at the outcome. And so But the outcome and how we dealt with it was, again, and so PV and I were just talking about it recently, and I forgot all about it, but it was actually PV's response that just kind of like blew me away when he actually came in, because when he came on his first day, he was just, again, he was very experienced. He's very tenured, but he simply asked me the question. He was like, well, look, I'm experienced. He was like, what do you need here? And I almost fell on the floor and got up off the floor, because that was just to hear that, it was so refreshing, because it was a maturity level in that comment that's really unparalleled. So I asked him, I said, when Brandon comes back in, could you just say it again? Because, I mean, it just floored me so. So it was just like, I couldn't really believe in what I was hearing. But what that actually did was it actually gave Brandon another reference to what maturity actually was, and not being combative, but being able to understand, well, if we work together and working together, what that does, it creates synergy. And so I've learned that to be successful, you have to simply find out what nobody else want to do and do that, and you become successful. And the description for that, Jesus said, let the greatest of us simply be a servant.
Amen. I mean, it was, you know, in my position, and I was telling you, we were talking about, you know, they made me a floater, and I covered team sites. And so in each site, you know, each one had a manager, but everyone that was in the manager's position wasn't managing. And so you had to come in and figure out how to blend into that situation and make that Amen. Thing continue to run. And so it was, I loved it, because it was, you know, every day was something different. But I definitely remember coming over to that first day, and I still kind of chuckle at it today, because, you know, you said, you know, I said, okay, John, you know, Mike Peavy, whatsoever else, you know, what do you need me to do, whatsoever else, and you know, he says, well, you know, I think whatever the project was, whatsoever else, is, I said, well, no, show me how you want it done, and I'll figure out. I mean, yeah, I've done these before, but I don't know how you guys are used to doing it here. And so you show me what you, and then I'll follow your, you know, your template and work from there, so that we work fine. And you just literally say, hold on, man, don't do anything until Brandon gets back here. And I thought that was so funny, because I was like, okay, what did I say? And so when it came, I said that to Brandon, did you hear what he said? And we just laughed about it. But it was cool, because what you just like you talked about, in order to get the synergy, there has to be teamwork. Now, you had you had three people there that had strengths in different areas to get the job done. Every one of us could have been considered a Michael Jordan in their area, you know.
Absolutely.
But you know, now but two bulls can't kick and pull at the same time. So we have to recognize, okay, somebody got to be on the bench. Somebody got to, you know, go. What? Somebody has to shoot. Somebody has to pass, whatsoever else. So I'm coming into an experienced situation. Y'all already had it running and was running fine. You just need the help in hand. So, okay, how can I help you continue to do what you're doing and push it to the next level? And that's what it was about. Mm-hmm. Just coming in, okay, Brandon, where are your strengths? Where are your weaknesses? Where do you need help? You know, okay, well, Mike, mm-hmm. I really – and that started to really build some stuff. Because, man, he may have had 100 books to put together. He was doing storyboards. I mean, this brother mm-hmm. was doing all kinds of stuff. And then yet he's training and he's going, you know, he's trying to become, because he wanted to be a technician. Remember, and the end result, John, is that the company, I don't know if you remember it or not, but the end result is the company was sending him to become a technician for those copiers because of your leadership.
Right.
Because you was able to harness the power that was there and continue to develop him and continue to push him forward and develop him, you put him mm-hmm. in a better light that he really understood he was in at the very beginning. And the end result, man, that brother's something else right now.
Amen. And like, but even as you speak, PV, I think what the key element is, even in going back to the previous conversations, whether it's in Sunday school learning and through the different relationships that we actually have in life, where we find ourselves in, whether it's in church or community, one of the key elements that enable us to be successful is the ability to sacrifice and humble our hearts in the situation, because we can probably be the better or the best in certain situations, but choosing to sacrifice. And so, again, we're not talking about the easy heart element, because that's not that doesn't come into play when you're talking about getting, you know, resolved with certain things. But again, but just choosing to sacrifice. And didn't our Lord and Savior do that? He sacrificed his life for us that we meant.
Yeah. Yeah, it's such a microcosm, Doc, and it's so important, because if you step back and look at the fact, okay, here you're at a reputable company that has hired an outside vendor to come in and set demands on them, probably for expense reasons. It's cheaper to hire someone to come in for insurance reasons and all that than it is to run it yourself. Whatever those reasons are, you've done that. And then you come in, and from my standpoint, you had lag, top leadership, but you had an ace in the game when you brought in this manager. Yeah, this is what I saw when I was there, man. And you connected with them, and I'm trying to think. I think the lady's name was Sarah or something like that. But whatever she truly trusted your judgment, not just with your judgment. And that's so important that you know, when you're working with other people, that, you know, the Bible says have favor among all men, you know. Mm-hmm. And when you're working with other people, that there is a glue or a bond that's there in order for us to be able to work. If you were combative with her, well, the whole company would have been out there quicker, you know, than who knows what. But the fact that you was able to build and I don't know what you went through to do it, because, you know, yes, definitely there was a race difference there. There may have been a professionalism difference there whatsoever else. But you knew what you needed to do to create a bridge in order for us to work. And man, it was a beautiful thing to see. I don't know if I've ever really got a chance to talk to you about it, because even days when you were gone and Brandon was, Brandon was now the man. You're the man. This is your thing. I'm helping you. You know, you ain't hurting my game. I'm helping you. What do you need to make sure this thing runs? Because John has put you in charge. You know the people. You know what they want. They come to the door. Is Brandon here? Is John there? Very seldom do they come and say, is Mike here? After a while, I got a few of them come and say, is Mike here? But I was the one brought in. The rest of them was, they knew exactly who they needed to get done, what they needed to get done. Because as you would always say, John, they come in with fire, with the hair on fire. You remember always saying that? They were coming coming there with their hair on fire, and we got to find a way of extinguishing it. So you think I wasn't paying attention. I was paying attention, Doc. I was paying attention. And I've coined some of those statements over the years because it's so true. People come in, and they've got this all this pressure has been put on them, and they don't know how to function. And where they're going, they're trying to rent to something that they can get some solace from. And they had a relationship with the print shop that said, man, I can get my job done, and with confidence, I know I can make this presentation right. And that was, that little piece, it was huge in their lives, because it probably meant a bonus for them. It probably meant their customer service for whomever else, you know. And you were a pit bull of not having jobs late. Let's get that stuff out. Let's make sure we have it on time. Because the client expects that. You set parameters, boundaries that you set the bar high. But guess what? We made it happen. I mean, and Brandon, once he finally bit a hold of it, you know, and I don't remember. You could tell me, Brandon Ryder, and I don't recall him actually being so much spiritual at that time until later on in the end. We would talk more about God. But when I got there, he was rebelling against it. So here you've got, you've got an aged brother that with wisdom, and you got a baby boomer who ain't here, that that's doing his thing. You know, very knowledgeable whatsoever else, but, you know, it's like, how do we make this work? How do you put Steph Curry and Jordan Poole and make them work together when you got a Draymond
right.
Green up in there. You know, that's the situation.
That's excellent. That's an excellent, like you said, that's again, PV, it is awesome. And I appreciate you doing a reset, because what's interesting about what you're saying, PV, is that when we learn certain principles, I think that in life, we get to apply the same principles over and over again. So now, like you said, so what I got an opportunity to do in that situation with Brandon, believe it or not, I got another opportunity to do the same thing with my team that I'm working with today. So it's almost the same identical type, but we can learn in life about that, because sometimes, again, it reminds me of a scripture. He simply says, it was Peter, he said, "Thinking not strange concerning the fiery trial," which is the trial of some strange happen. He said, "But rejoice in as much as ye are partakers of Christ's suffering." So it's certain things in life. God want us to be able to grow spiritually enough to be able to impart in the people that's around us virtue. You know, and so again, that was an awesome example that you used of how we actually came along, Peter, because like you said, it was a huge responsibility that we actually had, but it was a responsibility more than our attitude or our disposition as a team, the way that we actually attacked it, because if we didn't look at it the right way, it would have definitely overwhelmed us. But like you said, but by you coming in and by you, I think it was just God's wisdom in sending you in. It reminds me of that scripture where it makes reference of threefold cord. It actually can't be easily, and because God will always, in what we're going through, he'll send a reference. And when you think about even concerning the Holy Spirit, it's a Greek word. It's called parakletos. And it simply means one summoned alongside to help in a time of need. So if that be true, that means that God always, it may not seem like we have the help, but he'll always send us someone alongside. And he didn't say when we want it. He said
when we need it.
The difference between
Yes, sir.
We're like babies to where we whine because it's actually not coming in our own timetable. But God, in his infinite wisdom, when he wants to send the help or when he wants to send the support, he'll gird us actually up. And that was an awesome example that we got to experience together, PB.
Yes. I want to open up. There's another area I want to get into, but I want to open it up to the line. But we got a few people that's on with us today. My mother's on with us, and my wife's on. And I think there's another number on there. I'm not for sure, but we're going to at least give them an opportunity to comment on what they've heard so far. Hang on 1 second, John. Let's go to my wife first.
Mm-hmm.
Sure, she remembers you. Honey, are you there? Marie, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. I was muted. Hello, John. How you doing?
Hi. How are you, this baby?
I'm doing well. Thank you. I'm listening to all your comments, and I'm seeing how you position everything that we learned in Sunday school by Wednesday night Bible class or church, and then you utilize it into life. I like how you put we intake and then we accept. To me, was powerful. So I'm listening. I'm just like, okay, I'm saying, I'm growing, I'm understanding, because of the fact that we all go through what we all have to. Everything we learned in church, and then we have to utilize it outside of church. But how we mm-hmm. utilize it is really how we get the understanding of what we learned. We could, like you said, we could pout, or we can take something and be very positive about it. And I'm understanding that right now, especially right now, because I'm going something myself right now. So I really appreciate you. This is very well. Thank you.
Amen. God bless you.
Well, Marie, remember the time you had him and Brandon bring over the Laker stuff for my birthday?
Yes, and they did.
They did. They surprised me totally. I'm like, hold on, where y'all coming from?
Amen.
And Brandon couldn't wait to put it on me. He was always on by Kobe. He couldn't wait to put it on me. So appreciate it so much.
Yeah, he
Amen.
Was
too
late. Amen. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I still love my Lakers, but I'm a Golden State fan right now. So
Golden State.
See what they're going to do.
Okay.
I like that analogy that you use. You said there's a Michael Jordan, Steph Curry, and then Draymond Green. That if you understand those three personalities, you're like, wow.
Yeah.
So that was
yeah,
good.
That
was really good. That was good.
That's
yeah.
it. That's it.
Because
yeah.
you know, Draymond Green
I love
will fight anybody. Huh?
Yeah, yeah. I love sports and arts and everything I relate to those because that's what I come from. And, you know, and so it's easy to make those comparisons. You see those.
Amen.
Okay.
That was good.
Right,
if you know Draymond Green, he's going to fight you.
Oh, yeah. Draymond's a pit bull, but he's going to fight. He's going to fight,
bull,
and he's going to be
fight.
Dependable for you. Yep.
Yeah.
They never won a championship without it.
Yeah.
Amen.
Steph Curry, Michael Jordan was the humble ones. Yeah, that was a good analogy.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah.
Yes.
All right, let's I'm going to get back with you in a minute, Marie, because we got some other things we're going to be talking about here in a minute. I know that you're going to have a wonderful time expounding on. Let me get to my mother who's on right now. Mama, you there? Can you? I see you.
Yeah, I'm here, baby. Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you now. How you doing this morning?
Oh, I'm blessed and highly favored. How y'all doing?
Amen.
Doing awesome.
Blessed.
Doing awesome.
This is a good example this morning, you all's conversation, of how the believer's life is supposed to work. Most folks go to church all their life and never get this. They have a life in church, and they have a life outside of church, and they never the twain shall meet, you know. But this is the way it's supposed to be. You're supposed to get your training, get your understanding, do your study and your prayer, go to, you know, different classes or whatever, Bible study and Sunday school or whatever, and you're supposed to get some practical things that when you go out in the world, you can use them.
Amen.
Most of the time, what happens is we go and we sit in these classes and we, oh, yes, and it's so wonderful and hallelujah and all of that, and we leave it right there inside the building. And
Amen.
Then you go out and do some of anything and everything you feel like doing and deal in your flesh and get all emotional and all crazy. In the world. That's not how it's supposed to work. What you all
Amen.
Are talking about now is how it's supposed to work. You
Amen.
Get your training because we have to understand this. And folks don't understand this. The building is not the church. The building is a building.
That's it.
Amen.
The church is going to have to come out of Sunday school and out of Bible study and out of prayer meeting and out of whatever else we might have and come out into the world and be the church outside the four walls. That's where a lot of time there's a big disconnect.
Amen.
Because we trying to be the church inside the building. No. Well, you learn, you get your training, you get your understanding, you get your fellowship. You get strong because of your brothers and sisters in Christ. But then you got to go home. And when you go
Amen.
Home, you don't lose all that fellowship and training in the building. You take that home with you. So when you go to work in the morning, you won't be acting a fool.
Amen.
And sometimes there's a big disconnect because we don't understand we are the church. We think the building is the church.
Amen.
And so we're real careful about how we act in the building. You know, we wouldn't say a curse word, wouldn't act up, wouldn't show our temper, not in the house of God, not in the four walls. But when you get on your job, how we doing? You know?
Amen. Amen.
But you have to read, we have to read, and what I'm seeing with this back and forth between you and my son today, my brother, is that you all realize that the church comes out of the building and goes to work.
Amen.
And when the church goes to work, there's a way that the church has to act, and how do you do that? You rely on the training that you got while you was in the four walls. I mean, this is what's supposed to happen. This is the way it's supposed to work. We should not be surprised that it's working this way, because this is what's supposed to happen. It's not what happens often, I must admit, unfortunately. But this is what's supposed to happen. You get your training, you get your fellowship with your brothers and sisters, you get all built up, edified, and you leave the building, and you're supposed to carry that same edification to work, to school, to the hospital, to the doctor's office, down to the DMV, out on the road,
right,
when they're cutting you off, I'm not supposed to be giving people the bird, we're supposed to know how to act.
Amen.
Because we've got training inside the building. And people spend hours and hours and hours pouring into us, and we spend hours and hours in prayer and hours in study, all to leave it inside the four walls. Isn't that a waste of time?
Amen.
But what I hear with you guys today is that you all took that training and that understanding and all of that you got in the four walls, and we all need, praise God for the four walls. We need to have somebody to be trained. But that's not the church. That's the four walls. We're the church. So when the church comes to Sunday school, when I go out the front door, the church is going to go to work. The church is going to go to school. The church is going to go over to your in-laws' house that don't like you. The church is going to go, the church is going to a whole lot of places.
Amen.
And we're supposed to take that training that we got within the four walls with us. So you all actually have learned how to do this thing according to the word of God, because this is the way it's supposed to go. It doesn't work this way often. Most folks leave all of that good stuff and all that hallelujah and a thank you, Jesus, in the building. Ain't no hallelujah at work. No, we ain't thanking Jesus at work. We mad because we're there. We mad because we had to get up. Ain't no praise the Lord, when somebody, maybe a customer come in that's a little, like you said, his head's on fire, and you don't feel like being bothered with them, but you have to. How do we act then? Do we use the training that we received in the four walls, or are we out there being as carnal as a person at the front desk?
My Lord.
But we have to remember this. This is something I taught all of my people, and I pastor a church, and all my folks, I tell them this. You the one that said you were saved, not the person you ran into.
Amen.
You the one that said you were Jesus, not the person you ran into. You the one said you got Jesus on your side. Hallelujah, glory to God. You were the one running around the wall, jumping up and down, beating tambourine, screaming, hallelujah, because we're Pentecostal, and all of that, and all the Holy Ghost, and blah, 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 all that cliche stuff in the building. And as soon as you went out the front door, you left that all in here, and you went out there and acted a fool.
My Lord.
And God is not pleased with that. The way you all are talking today, God intended to happen. Get the training and definitely do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together. Go to Sunday school. Go to church somewhere. Get a Bible study. Do something. Now, in this day and time, you don't even have to go in the building. They got it on cyberspace. You ain't got no excuse not to study now. No excuse.
Yep,
it's everywhere. You almost have to watch what you do and turn off some of it, because it's everywhere now. Ain't no excuse. So we got a bishop that reads the Bible. He's going through the Bible, reads every morning at 6 o'clock. He reads through the whole Bible. Just keeps going over the whole Bible. So you can't say, well, I didn't got no Bible. I can't read the Bible. Well, you can listen to him. He reads through it every morning. And when he gets through, then he stops for a week or so and he starts over again. So there's no excuse is what I'm saying. We know what to do. We've been taught. It's that we leave it inside the building because we think the building is the church.
Right.
But you all have exemplified today on this line how it's supposed to work. You went to Sunday school and Bible study and all the different things that you went to and the training sessions and all of that, and then you walked your happy self out the door and took the church with you to work.
Amen.
That's what's supposed to happen. This is the way it's supposed to work. It doesn't work often like that because most people think the church is the building. No, we're the church. And I'm just glad to hear somebody has got the concept straight, because then we can pass that down to the older generation, And they'll realize that the building is not the church, you the church, baby. Get all you can when you're inside the building. Get all the fellowship, all the building up. How, you know, if you got to holler, holler loud, shout, whatever you're doing in there to get yourself together. Read, study, pray. And then when you come out, bring all of that joy and gladness with you and take it to work, take it to school, and take it to wherever else you're going. This is a good, Michael, this is a good, a good session because we need, but I always like to go and look at the spiritual side of stuff, you know.
Yeah.
The natural is wonderful. It's natural than spiritual. Like, but you know me, I'm always looking at what, okay, what's this got to do with God? And this is a perfect example. Number one, of how grown men can work together. You know, that don't happen often. You know,
black men, grown black men can work together.
Yeah, everybody got an ego, and I want you to know I'm the one in charge. Well, I want you to know I got more experience than you. You know, that's usually how that works. But I see how you all work together as a team, and there's no I in team.
Nope.
And got the job done. And now, years later, even though Michael's no longer in that field or whatever, but you all are still friends, still getting along, still have high five memories, how you brought the other young man along, you know, I mean, and others have influence. This is God's work that you're talking about here. May not, you know, we may not be falling out and beating the tambourine and jumping up and down screaming, but this is the way God intended it to work. And so this is a wonderful, perfect session and a good example to others that will be listening of how the church is really supposed to function. Study, you learn, and then you take the church out of the building with you wherever you go, and you're still the church behind the four walls, and you're still the church when you get in your car. You're still the church when you go home. You're still the church when you and your wife may not get along. You're still when your kids ain't doing well. You're still the church.
Amen.
And how do you handle all that? Because all that stress, you go back and use all that training that you got when you was in the four walls.
Amen.
Great session, baby. I'm really proud of you. This is a good session.
Amen.
Thank you, Mom. We'll get back to you in a minute. I think it's just Tito. I'm not for sure. We're going to talk about a few other things. But let's see who this is on this end. Good morning. Can you hear me? Good morning. Can you hear me? All right. So you're on mute. I'll give you a couple more seconds. Can you hear me? You're not coming through. Okay. Well, we're glad to have you on with us this morning. If it is, text me. Then we'll talk a little bit more in regards to that. But, yeah, John, so it's good to get a chance to hear my wife and my mother. And, you know, just glad to hear that things are still going well. And, you know, like I say, years later, we're still on the battlefield, you know, doing things. Now, I would like to talk a little bit about, you know, your background. I know it's like this is that tender root you were talking about before. And I want you to name no names or whatsoever else, but I remember that John comes from, you know, we always talk about the echelon of things that happen. And so he was pretty high up and saw some things that unnerved him, we talked about. And I don't, you know, and I just want you to kind of to encourage some people and help them to kind of understand that, you know, when things don't go the way you would think they were or when the expectations of people don't end up being what they are, you know, how do you function? You know, do you run and hide or do you, you know, how do you pick yourself back up? And I think that's a very important lesson that we need to continue to permeate and get out there. So,
okay.
I'll let you approach it any way that you choose.
I got you loud and clear. And before I make that point, I had a note on, cause they did like a thing at my church about the benefit of actually going to church. And so, and it simply says, one of the points was it's actually Pastor Singleton and his son, Pastor Drew, from my church, which is Victory Apostolic Church. But anyway, I want to give them credit for this because, like your mom said, it connects everything together because it simply says the church helps humanity get through the T's, and the T's are tests, trials, tribulation, and trouble. And so the church humanity battle the T's with the P's. And the P's are a promise that is profound and powerful, okay? And it's a place, it's protection, which to be a participant and with to practice. So, and on that note, PV, I had experience in a church where, and this is the way it actually happened, because I've been involved in several ministries over the years, but this particular one, I believe it really was like the crescendo, because what it was we got a flyer, and the flyer simply was of a program that was actually in the church that simply took you from a lay member to actually you can get a license to be a minister, right? So we did this. So we were in this program, I guess totally maybe about 7 years. And so we did the program from the beginning all the way up until the end to where it was about time to, you know, to do the execution part, if you will, to get the license and things like that. But unfortunately, and the way the situation broke down was, it was just simply through like we were supposed to, because it was like a life group ministry, and it was supposed to multiply. The groups would multiply. So our groups were multiplying. So, but what happened, long story short, one of our groups, they didn't multiply it. They took the group and gave it to one of the people that was actually in our group. So we didn't multiply. It kind of like went stagnant. And we just simply asked a question about it because it was initially coming out as it was a promotion. But how was that a promotion? And again, and like they say, if you don't know, you need to ask somebody. And so, but anyway, right. Long story short, when we asked, all hell broke out. And so we went from, per se, being leaders to the bottom was actually pulled out from actually under us. And it was a death when you think about it, because to be able to utilize the spiritual gifts and get to a place to where you're able to actually be a blessing to other people in the body of Christ, that's God being glorified, and I believe that's what God actually wanted us to do. But with me, it was a death in that. How do you go from doing that type of spiritual exercise to where, I'm talking about weekly, we did everything from, we were going throughout the week, maybe 4, sometimes 5 days a week out. We used to call them back then drive-bys, to where we would actually go by people's houses, encouraging them in the ministry. And like on Thursdays, we had like the life group ministry, to where it was actually an extension of the church, where you had like the worship, you had the word, and you had the fellowship. So we're doing this. So like this was over a space of like 7 years. And so for the bottom to fall out like that, it was tremendous. And I died, excuse my expression, a peck of wood death. But to God be the glory. And then my wife, and this was a family thing, you know, because she was like, so now what are you going to do? And I didn't know what to do, because she was like, so, because at that place, we did have the credibility of actually starting a ministry, because, again, our gifts simply had made room for us. But in my spirit, I was dead. I couldn't, and so I guess the best way to describe the situation that I was in was, it's the over-under principle. So I was like what you would call mid-management, because even though I'm a leader, I'm getting instruction from leadership, but yet I'm responsible for pulling the people up under me. So I'm in the middle. So it is powerful. The only way that you can come out of a situation like that is, again, God has to be with you. And it reminds me of David in the scripture. I believe it was in Psalms 51 to where he said, in the inner parts, thou shalt actually make me to know wisdom. And so that was the only thing that actually brought me through a situation like that, because I was broken. I mean, I was so broken. And so that's one of the terms for death. One of the terms for death simply means just to be separated. And so I was separated because it's almost like I don't think I can compare it to that, but I can use it as an example with Jesus was separated from God. You know what I'm saying? You know, and so it was like, wait a minute, what happened? God, why have you separated yourself from me? Because that's actually how I felt, you know. But praise God, one of the things that our faith is anchored on is the resurrection principle, in that when we die, God, through what he did, through what Jesus did on the cross, he can bring us back to life. And it's not something that we can see, because we want to, in our carnal mind, we want to be in control of certain things. But see, but it's not about being in control of things more than letting or allowing God to be God in our lives.
Yes. It's, it's more than just talking about it. It's a light that has to turn on and allow greater to be in you than you that are placed in the world. It's interesting to hear you tell that story, because I'm just sitting back thinking, and, you know, being there with you at draft, I remember I'm like, now, I'm talking here. I'm coming in. I'm young, and just getting into ministry a little bit, and just getting my feet really wet. Now, I've been around it all my life, you know, and I'm probably one of the last ones. I would have thought God would have called in to do this, because I was tooting my horn doing things elsewhere, and in training. As a matter of fact, when I was working at Xerox and et cetera, they wanted me to, you know, become manager, but I'm like, no, I'm playing my horn, but I'll train your people that's going to be managing. So I did a lot of that, you know, the facilities management stuff and whatsoever else. And but then God sends me over there to draft with you. And, you know, and I remember talking with you, as my mother would always say, I'm like, no, this brother got preaching in his belly. You know, I didn't really know you from Adam, you know, but I'm like, I don't care what you say, this, he exemplifies what should be, you know. But I also remember, and we would talk and whatsoever, talk about some of the lessons I had, some of the scripture, whatsoever. We go back and forth right there at work, you know, talking about scripture, and encouraging one another and adding stuff. But there was a hesitancy from you to you know, well, you know, you've been hurt on this, but man, why don't you come on or whatsoever? Let's see what's going on. You know, don't give up hope, man, because it's in you. And you know, it is not. It seemed like, you know, you came off the mountaintop and you were in the valley a little bit, and you had to learn how to function in the valley in order to crawl your way out of the valley. You know, and I'm just so glad to see that you eventually got yourself back together, and you know, out there in South Holland, and got your spot, and you start moving, and now you now you're rocking and rolling like you always have been. You know, and so and with the same power that's always been within you and always been doing it. It's like, you can't have all this training and all this and just set it on a fence and let it just rot to race. You'll drive yourself crazy, man. You've been a person that's always helped. And then to hear you tell the story and to see you do the exact thing in your position at draft, where, you know, the company we was with they were an astounding, established company, but the leadership we were up under weren't worth 50 cents. Or two dead white flies with the wings burned off them. but you set a standard, and to hear you have to deal with that above, and I remember some of the conversations you had with our faithful leadership, and the trust that you had to do to keep them emboldened where they was at, because you kept a standard high, and to be able to, you know, to, I mean, man, dude, you really are an ensample of the blessings of God. And I just thank God for you being in my life and for God bringing our paths together, because I know I'm better. I'm a better man watching that. I mean, your leadership skills were second to none. You knew how to how to deal with corporate. You know how what to write. You know how to deal with, you know, personal interview. I mean, you knew that you had that stuff back and forward. And I learned a lot of that from you.
Amen.
But just the fact that you were just steadfast and unmovable about, okay, yeah, we may not get the support from above like we think we are, but yet we are still going to win the championship in spite of. So I'm saying,
amen.
Here we go back. Marie, here we go back to the Bulls. Michael Jordan won 6. He was ready to go for 7, and it was the organization that shut it down. Jerry Krause. There was a Jerry Krause that shut it down, right? Because they said it was the organization that won championships, and Michael came out and said, "No, I don't ever remember Jerry in practice for the organization out here trying to hit these shots. And when it comes time to play, so you know, yeah, we work together. But when the ball's in my hand, this is there's an expectation in my hand that you put on me that's not in your hand when it comes through. And so it's interesting that way. But man, I know the companies." And lives have been changed. People that we will never see again or where they have went on to other careers touched so many lives, Doc. You've got some jewels in your crown, even though maybe the crown may be a little dusty or bent. I want you to know that you've affected not only my life, but, you know, and I know Brandon's life, but, you know, the life of those that was there. Because I know there was a talk about maybe I think it was a contract situation with you or whatever else, and they were talking about maybe bringing somebody else in, and that's when I remember Sarah stepping up and saying, no, you know, we working with John. The company backed you and whatsoever else. They never did, at least while I was there, they never did change you out. But there was conjecture that was going on and whatsoever else, you know, and the weird folks, and they would come and show up on the spot and didn't nobody know y'all. What's going on? You know, you can drop in whenever you are. We are taking care of our business, and we are not, you know, we are making you look good. And so that was always the outcome of their drop-ins, you know, unexpected or expected, you know, and a lot of times when, you know, they said they would come and they never show up. So that thing as well. But, you know, so what I'm saying is this. The world, we have to function, you know, as aliens in this world with a stature or a relationship with God that represents God, whether it's falling down around us or whatever, we represent God either way. And when we really... Amen. Take that and take that to heart, eat on that, chew on that, and be that, recognize that we don't have to depend on nobody but the Father who owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. He will provide and work on our relationship with him, that man, that he will not fail us. He will not drop us. And his hands are better than all states. So, church hurt, man, is something. So what are some of the principles, John? Here's a question. And trying to say all that, what are some of the principles? Because, you know, people get hurt in church all the time. You wouldn't think that you get hurt in church. And a lot of times some of it may be your own problem because you don't, you know, you ain't coming with nothing. You just coming to take. No, you got to come with something to get something, too, sometimes. Right. You got to have some prayers before you get to church, you know, recognize that even the devil come to church. And so you just make sure you ain't sitting next to the devil or he ain't sitting on your lap. So, you know, there's things that we have to recognize with that. But what are some of the principles maybe that you learned from a kid, maybe that you learned from your parents, or that or life principles that you can instill or you can help us to kind of understand for the listening audience? Because we're broadcasting not only in the continental United States, but also in Germany. And the same problems here, same problems there, because we got the same guy wherever they're at, you know. This is not a denominational issue, and this is what I'm trying to help folks to understand, that the body of Christ is the believers of Christ. And if we can come together as believers, we may have some distinctions that separate us. And one thing I'm learning the older I get and the more I investigate this is that the things that separate us are small versus the things that really bind us together. So if we look at what we are in agreement on, you know, just think about Congress. Congress, the Senate and the House, they all got Republicans and Democrats. So you want a bipartisan situation because it works better than if you just strong arm one way or the other, because you're always going to have the opposition. So if we can come, so we have to work with, okay, what can we agree upon? Let's set that as the framework to begin with, and then let's start to try to work some of those other things out. If we start doing, recognizing our relationships be built that way, because Jesus did that. He came down. Now, he was all-knowing. He was all glory. He put his glory aside, left the heaven's best, came down here, and he's, you know, in everyone he come to, how do you understand the script? Where are you at? Let me come down to your level. Get where you're at your level, build some faith at your level, so now you can, so I can elevate you to where I'm trying to take you to be. So experiencing the mountain, experiencing the valley, and that climb out of the valley. How can you help us with that, bro?
So it's so interesting that you say that, PB. So again, I guess this is the way I'll actually go about saying that. The common denominator, all Christians, the thing that bring us together, our core belief, is the cross. Because the cross, again, like that song said, the cross at the cross, where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart, they rolled away. It was there by faith. I received my sight. And now I'm happy. It doesn't say a portion of the day. It says all of the day. So, PV, my Lord, that's the bedrock. But isn't it interesting? We're majoring in the minor instead of the minor. And again, the major is the cross, because I believe as Christians, if we take wholeheartedly, PV, what Jesus did on the cross for us, again, what that does, it allowed us to go through that metamorphosis of going from flesh into the spirit. And so they remind me of the scripture, he said, though the outer man perish, the inner man is renewed day by day. So one of the things I think, if I could encapsulate it as a principle that all of us as Christians should govern our lives by, is that cross, and that's how you can really tell where we're really at spiritually, too, because the Bible, again, and I quote the scripture earlier, he said, thinking not strange concerning the fiery trial. You know what I'm saying? And then the Bible even said, many are the affliction of the righteous. He said, but the Lord delivered. He didn't say out of some of them. He said, the Lord deliver out of all of them. So, PV, on that note, I'm going to share another experience with you that was very, very painful as a Christian. And I may have shared a little bit of this before. But in life, I got an opportunity to work for some billionaires. And so I was a man Friday where I did everything from took large sums of money to the bank. I would go to their jet, drop stuff off. I was going to their houses where I worked in the office during the day, but it was just special projects because they were actually billionaires that they entrusted me to actually go and to actually do. And so I got a chance to have the opportunity of, back then when Senator Obama was just a senator, by default, I'm in a situation where I find myself in like a private fundraiser where he's there, right? And the gym hosting it. Long story short, he called the photographer up, says, look, Senator Obama, come here. John, come here. He told the photographer, he said, take his picture. So they took the picture. And so he said, right after, he said, it's possible that you've just shaken hands with the next president of the United States. And so the fast forward, so in Grant Park, when the president was being inaugurated in Grant Park, the guy who I was working with, Roberto, he called me. He said, John, he called me John. He said, I got the picture. I said, you got the picture, Roberto? He said, no, but I remember. And so I'm giving context to a lot of the things that the Lord had allowed me to experience in my life. And then aside from that, I would take this gentleman's money to the bank. He's a billionaire. And so, and just like how I'm talking to you guys, the Lord spoke to me. He said, now, if you had a gangster's money in your hand, by association, you're a gangster. He said, you got a billionaire's money in your hand.
Come on, my brother.
I can fill in the blank. By association, I'm a billionaire. You know what I mean? Because, so I'm saying all that to say that I was in that Oikos for about maybe 2.5 years, and I learned so much from that, you know, because it was, again, it wasn't the word that I was taught. It was the word was manifest in a natural life where the Lord allowed me to see life through people that had a lot of money. So to the Christians that you think that the Lord want to just bless you and you think that it's actually about the money, it's not about the money, because in that situation, they let me go. It was a crucifixion because I had done nothing wrong, you know, but they decided to drop me like I was hot. And they did it. And so from all that I just shared with you guys, again, you know, it was a new, what the Bible say, it was a new Pharaoh did not know Joseph. And so that's what happened. So they transitioned and dropped me like I was hot. And so from that, again, I died. But what was awesome in that experience was, it was almost like a dual trial. Where I was going through the depth of that experience, and the Lord just quickened this back to me, the experience that I was going through that I shared with you guys in the ministry, I was going through both of those simultaneously. And in the spirit, I was actually able to see both of them. And you know what I did? I did like Sarah. I laughed because I was actually able to see that it had nothing to do with me, that God had a hand on me, and that God allowed me to go through that situation and, again, just raised me back up because, like I said, because that was very hard, and being in a situation like that and then without cause just being dropped. But, again, my Bible told me, Jesus said, they hated me without a cause.
Yeah, I do remember a good portion of that, and I'm glad you didn't mention the name, and I won't mention the name neither because they're very prominent today, and so don't need to have to squabble with all that, but make sure the fact that we recognize the fact that God has brought us through even those situations, and you know, we have somebody near and dear to me that's just experienced that here recently. And one of the things we have to, you know, what do we do when we have been dropped? You know, officially, unofficially, whatsoever else, do we just, you know, no, we don't have to even go in. We don't sorrow as others who have no hope. We have we have God. You know, when we see the death, we're not just, you know, you may think you've killed us, but we're just resting. From a spiritual nature, we're just resting, waiting for the resurrection to take place. And God will resurrect his. But see, what we have to remember is that there is real faith that has to take place. And sometimes when our faith isn't strong enough, God will allow us to lay a little bit longer to help us build our faith up, like Sarah laughed. He said, okay, yeah, you laughed. No, I didn't laugh when he called her on the car. No, I didn't laugh. What are you talking about? Yeah, no, you did laugh. And whether you laugh or not, I've seen you in a year's time, and you about to have this child I said you're going to have. And so he took what was – it made a miraculous situation, because from a human perspective, she was way past any age and past anything. Well, I like to say everything's dried up, ain't nothing moving. You know what I'm saying? On either side. But yet God rejuvenated the situation and revigorated the situation and made it happen. So, you know, just like Solomon said, Lord, just give me just one more strength. And one more bit of strength with my hair growing out a little bit so I can do what I need to do. and then that's what happened. Let me get to Tito here real quick, and because he is trying to reach in. I'm going to call him on the line. And I want to definitely get back to some of the questions that we're here. We have about 57 minutes left. But definitely love this conversation, John. I knew it would be apropos for others. It's been a blessing for me in my life. Amen. But to be able to share that with others because, you know, we're not supposed to keep it to ourselves. We're supposed to go forth and let others be able to benefit from that. Let's see if I can get Tito on the line here. He just sent me a text. He's listening in. Hello? Can you hear me, Tito? Phone must be on mute or something because of... Can I hear you?
His name. Let's get to
Jesus. Try this one more again. Let me end this up.
Amen.
Answer this one. I think I'm doing what's right. And let's try it one more time. I'm really learning this new thing here.
Amen.
Oh, place on the screen. Is that what I need to do? Let's see. The diamond? All trapped. Okay, let's do this. If this is it. All right, are you there, Tito?
Yes, I can hear you.
Ah, okay, I got it now. I guess when I call you, it goes into the screening room. That's what that is, and I got to pull you over. Okay, good, my brother. How you doing today?
I'm doing fine. How are you?
Yes, I can hear you.
Awesome. Okay, I got a echo going on. See where that is.
Yeah, I just silenced the computer.
Oh, that's on your side. Okay.
Can you hear me?
So you got a chance to hear the conversation with John and myself?
Just part of it, and then I heard Marie and your mom and. Really, really enjoy what I'm hearing. I think a lot of times what we fail to realize is that it's not us with the power. You know, we're the one that's connected to the power. And unfortunately, is that we try to limit the power by our limitations. Instead of stepping out by faith and understanding that we are the tool that represents the power. We're not the power, you know. And so when we like Mama Holmes said that, you know, outside those four walls, you know, we're on display. We're not there to just be timid and to live quiet lives. We are to live victoriously. And even in the job setting, you know, at home or at school, you know, we're victorious 24/7. And, you know, people, you know what I always say, as a conqueror, conquerors don't get conquered. We do the conquering. And until that mind is changed, until we start working on this mindset, I'm not alone. I mean, I love the way that you said it, that he's there when we need him, not just when we want him, but when there's a need. And we have to fall in love with knowing that God loves us more than we love him. There is something about man that God is craving, that God has a desire, that God makes ways for us to be used to elevate him. After all, we were created for his glory. And so when we show up victoriously, even in quote unquote some of these things that we call being defeated, God has always never left us in that state. There's a purpose for being knocked down. There's a purpose. I mean, because after all, Saul could not deal with God until he got what? Knocked down. And so sometimes we have to taste a little defeat, but that don't mean we got to swallow it and chew it and swallow it.
Amen.
Yeah. Taste it. So when the next time you taste a victory, it's a bigger sweet, you know.
What?
And sometimes we're so used to just going through the regular life that we don't even see how God is being glorified. We don't see how God is working miracles in our lives because we're seeing it through our own eyes and not through the eyes of God. And so, man, I just love it. You know, when people talk about ministry and even when they can identify that God has been using them for ministry without them knowing about it. And, you know, we do need men like you, John, and we need men like PV and Mom and PV to help us to realize that we're not in this all by ourselves.
That's powerful.
That's right. It's such a blessing to recognize, and we're in this thing, John, when we talk about there's things that are in our control, like what's in our control is being present in the moment, how we speak to ourselves, our words and our mindset. We have control over that, what we give our energy to, what boundaries we set, how we spend our free time. You know, how do I move from failure? That's in my control. I manipulate that. I put that into action. You know, am I a noun or am I a verb? Verb is, is an action word. A noun just sets where it's at, waiting for something to come to it. You know, but there's also things that are out of our control, and that's where we must depend on God. And that's, the actions of others, our future, the opinions of others, what happens around me. That's out of my control. Now, the efforts or the outcome of my efforts, the past mistakes that I've had, out of my control. Other people's boundaries are out of my control. And what other people think of me or even how other people will treat me is out of my control. What I have to control is how I deal with what has been dealt to me. You know, it's just like if you're playing a game of cards, unless the deck is stacked. You know, whoever's dealing, you don't know what cards you're going to get, but you have to play your hand. You see, if you're playing spades, you got to play your hand. You know, and the game is who's going to win 21, who's going to do it the best. And you may, and ain't no jokers in the game, jokers come in the world where ain't no jokers in there, so you're playing straight up. Well, this is how we have to recognize. We have to play straight up in a world that's playing with jokers.
Amen.
And so what we have to do is make sure that we are our relationship with God supersedes and overrides everything that's coming at us and recognize that what comes at us, those fiery darts, are not they're to bring us down, but they can't bring us down. Let your light so shine among men that they may see your good work and glorify your Father which is in heaven. You know, we got to remember that our glory and illumination needs to be of God and not of ourselves. And so when we set our sights on above and do that, the world can't hurt me. It can't bother me.
Amen.
And that's where the faith walk is about. Jesus, do you want to be made whole? And they got to pull someone. You making excuses. You mean, are you going to push me? No, I didn't ask you that. It ain't about the water.
Amen.
That's what's here every once in a while, and only the first. That ain't what I'm here with you to correct your problem and move you forward. But where are you at mentally? And Satan will, if we have Satan in there, he will make sure that we are crippled mentally and that we can't get it done. But God wants to make us whole so that we can get up, take our bed, and we can walk. And so, man, I just appreciate this. We've got 47 minutes left. Let me go back to Tito. Do you have anything else you want to comment on, my brother?
Oh, no, that's good, man. That's good. Good.
Okay. Well, good. I thought it was you, but I can't tell who was coming in. So, yeah, just always text me, and I can always call you now that I understand that we have that feature on this thing. Still learning it. So.
Okay.
Let me put you over here. I would definitely want to go back to hear back from my wife and my mother before we pull out, and then we'll let John have the final space. Marie, you there? Oh, I put on the wrong thing. Sorry about that. That should come up now. Honey, you there, sweetheart?
Yes, I am. I want to say this, John, thank you. Thank you, Brother John, I love the P's and the T's. I like the peace, the power, and the promise that help us in our trials, our tests, in our troubles and tribulation. That, to me, is very powerful. Thank you for that, because that is so actually true. We all know that basically, I think, on the line right now, have been through miraculous training. We have been through the teacher training, the Bible studies and the Christian colleges, and you have some marvelous, marvelous teachers. But I'm not putting emphasis on the person, but I'm just saying that fact that those teachers have helped us out tremendously to where as we develop a relationship with God so that all of the words that we study for ourselves is embedded in our souls. So that we go out, yes, we've got intake, but we go out and we can give what's inside of us out to anybody. And it's really given because it's part of who you are. I'm doing this because what I learned is, you know, because of people watching me. I'm because God is inside of me.
And I know that.
And when I walk and I talk, and I, no matter who I come in contact with, that's part of who I am. It's embedded. But I also have to understand, too, when we fall, when we fall, we have to be like David did when Nathan approached him. We cannot have any excuses. We have to repent and say, Lord, I'm sorry. And understanding that. And understanding in that power and that promise, and understanding when you're angry and you're kind of like Michael just pointed out and you're kind of lost. God said to me, daughter, where are you? As he said to Adam and Eve, where are you? And I have to say, daddy, here I am. I have no excuses. I have
That's
to say,
it.
Thank you for your resurrection. Thank you for your forgiveness. I understand I made some mistakes. I understand I failed. But thank you for restoring me and helping me to see. And thank you for this program today, God. You have said some wonderful things that really blessed my heart tremendously. And I just want to say to you, thank you.
God.
Thank you. Thank you. This has been wonderful. Thank you.
God bless you, Maria. I appreciate you.
Thank you.
Yeah, I know there's some things, some unfair things that have happened, but that don't define us, you know. We always think it's not strange. It's gonna happen. Satan knows how to get you off your square. He knows how to tick you off. He knows how to make you say stuff that you don't want to say or you ain't designed to say because he's watching and studying and continues the pressure whatsoever else. And this is what our faith walkers is. You know, we need to transition from Abram to Abraham, from Sarai to Sarah. We have to continue to be steadfast as God moves it, you know, and he moves us from a Jacob to an Israel. All right. Excellent comment, Marie, and I would agree with you. There's a lot in here today that I'm going to continue to pin on and go back through and make sure to prime myself. John just have always had that effect on me. Love this brother like none other. Go to my mother. Mom, oh, I didn't get you on yet. Hang on. I'm still a rookie, so to speak, in some areas, but I'm getting it together. Mom, you there, sweetheart?
Yeah, I'm here, baby. I'm here.
All right.
Listen, this has been tremendous. Brother John, I don't personally know you, but I feel the intensity of your pain. And thank you for being so transparent, because a lot of times folks believe, you know, when you start going to church and you give your life to the Lord, now you're going to be on a flowery bed of ease. And, you know, you're going to chip throw to the tulips and, you know, play the golden harp until you get your wings or some kind of mess like that. But the fact of the matter is, well, that, you know, people got all kind of ideas. But the fact of the matter is, once you declare yourself a child of God, and once you have been baptized, and once you have told the world goodbye, you in a fight. Mm-hmm. And if you think you're not in, and see, maybe you don't, and a lot of times people don't look at it like that, so they're not fighting back. But the enemy don't care. He's a dirty devil. He don't care if you're fighting back or not. He's going to fight you whether you fight or not.
Amen.
He's going to attack you, and if you don't have enough sense to know how to keep your armor on, we've been studying that on this line, and if you don't have enough sense to know how to pray, and you have not studied, see, the Bible said he will bring to your remembrance the things that you have been taught. If you ain't studied and been taught, nothing to bring to your remembrance. So you just out there in open field, open for game.
Amen.
You know, an enemy just flipping your head back and forth, slap, slap, and you just taking it because you don't know what to do. But
Amen.
We as a saint of God must realize that there are going to be some times when even, and this is what's so painful. In this army of God, there's a lot of friendly fire. You know what friendly fire is? The people
friendly fire.
The folks that are supposed to be on your side, they the one doing the shooting. You know, the ones that said, oh, yes, I'm with you too, thick and thin. Oh, yes, oh, no matter what, I'm going to be with you. That's the one going to have a knife stab you in the back.
Amen.
And it happens over and over and over again. I had a situation here in Des Moines. I had a brother, my youngest son got in touch with a brother, and he was giving life experience for those that had been in the ministry for many years. And with that and a few classes, you could get your accredited degree, you know, because he was actually giving life experience. You had to write up what your life experience was, but then they would transfer that to what level, whatever class they would have, you would get the credit for the class that would go along with whatever you've been doing all these years, rather than have to, and then you'd have to take a few more classes, but you could get your ministerial doctorate or honorary doctorate or your actual ministerial credentials. And we had that thing going well, and then all of a sudden somebody over here across town got jealous. Another church got jealous. And so they jumped in the middle of it, and because I'm a woman pastor, this brother got nervous, you know, because all the brothers got to complaining and going on and whatever. And so he ended up jumping ship from us, going over there to them. Well, guess what? There's no school in Des Moines now at all. His whole branch is dead. Dead. They had one graduation, but the whole thing died out. And so he's been contacting me. Well, you know, the Bible said, touch not mine anointing. That's what the Bible said. You know, do what you want to do.
Right.
And so he's contacting me because now he realizes after maybe another, it's been about 5 or 6 years now, God had intended for it to run through here, and not because I'm so wonderful, but I know everybody, you know, in Christendom in Des Moines. I know if you want anything with any, I don't care what denomination it is, I don't care who it is, I don't care whatever, I know all these people. And half of them call themselves my spiritual children. So I'm steady combing head and rebuking and encouraging all these folks. I don't care what church you go to.
That's
so
awesome.
The Lord was trying to bless him, give him a hookup with somebody that could really bring him some people that actually had, because number one, what he did, he ended up getting a bunch of folks that had no experience. They hadn't done nothing. They just come out. They had just opened up the church themselves. They didn't have no experience. They hadn't done no ministry. And they was trying to get credit for something they'd never done. Whereas if he had stayed with us, you know, I know the people in the city that have been working like Trojan horses in the community for years, doing the Lord's work and being successful at it. And souls have been saved and lives have been changed and families have been put together. Those are the kind of people I was trying to bring to him so then he could give them the proper, you know, because they did like me. They didn't take time to go to college. They went to work, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I went down to Fifth Avenue, went to hiding the girl, getting the prostitutes off the street. I didn't have, my mother was mad at me because I didn't go to college. Like, I got a couple of cousins that Michael was raised with, and those girls went to college, been teaching a combined year, the two twins of over 90 years. I didn't take that route. I went to the street corner and got the folks off the corner. That's what I did.
Amen.
You know, but both of us in our own respective places have done God's work. Because what
Amen.
They did is just as important as dealing with children. You know,
Amen.
Just that was the way the Lord had them to go, and the Lord had me do something else. Because I'm kind of wild-minded. You know, I don't have no problem. I ain't scared of not one pimp, no. You know, I ain't scared of nobody. So the Lord said, yeah, let this crazy girl, get her over here. You know, put her out there in the street.
Amen.
You know. And so I know people like that and that have been doing the work, and I was trying to bring them to him. And what happened is when they saw the way the thing was going and that he was trying to be with the big shots, then they shied away because they're not big shot like I'm not big shot, you know. And so he had one graduating class with about five people in it, and now the whole thing is dead.
Wow.
And now he's calling me. Well, I told the Lord, I said, Lord, you got to tell me what to do about this because I'm done. Because, you know, I got on my nerves. I have to keep my blood pressure down. You know, I can keep myself. I don't have time for foolishness. But I'm asking the Lord now what he wants to do because I'm concerned about the pastors and those that were working, if the blessing that they could receive from this particular program. So, but I understand about Mariah and these folks that I'd mentored, they didn't have no church. I let them have church in my building. You know, they got put out. They didn't have that. And I'm like, come on in here, baby. Come on. We meeting at 10. You can come in at 12. Come on, come on, come on, come on. And then would bring my people to their service.
Wow.
So that they could have. Yeah, I mean, you know, I'm just really trying to encourage. You know, that's what it's about. It ain't about whose church time it is. It's about how many people getting saved, you know.
Right.
And then to have those particular people stab you in the back. If you think that don't hurt, you know, I don't care how strong you are. However,
man.
The Lord told me, he said, just be quiet. And, yeah, as you can tell, I do a lot of talking, but the Lord told me, be quiet, don't say nothing. I didn't say
Amen.
Anything as all the drama was going around in the city and folks was running their mouths and all this, not a word. And now the evidence is clear because now there's no school in this area. Not only in Des Moines, in the Midwest. He doesn't have a center in the Midwest. He's out of Florida. And everything he had in the Midwest dried up.
Wow.
Everything. Because he did not honor the one that God, and I'm not saying it because it was me, because it could have been somebody else, but you honor the one that God sends you to, and you don't, and if you ain't going to do nothing else, don't try to kill people, you know.
Amen.
I understand the hurt, and the friendly fire hurt is what hurts the worst. You know, I expect the devil to act a fool. I'm not thinking anything strange about him. That's what he's supposed to do. But my goodness, you're supposed to be the leader. You're supposed to be my confidant.
Right.
That's what hurts. But what we have to understand is, no matter what it is, our flesh cannot prevail.
Amen.
I didn't say their flesh. Our flesh cannot prevail. And so by you sharing what's happening to you, this is going to be a help to a lot of people because they're going to realize this is a real war and all this tiptoeing through the tulips and flowery bed of each stuff is not true, you know. And you're going to go through a whole lot of stuff when you declare Jesus as your personal savior. You are
Amen.
Going to go through hell and high water. However, we have a problem.
Amen.
My God, we have a problem. He said,
Man,
when the
problem.
Enemy comes in like a flood, not just come, no, dewdrop, drop a little dewdrop. No. When he come in like a flood, the spirit of the Lord standeth against him. So
Amen.
I don't care what he did. He is as a roaring lion. He's not the lion of the tribe of Judah. He's a counterfeit. He make a lot of noise, hoop and holler and growl and go on, but he can't do nothing that you don't allow him to do if your relationship is right with the Lord.
My Lord.
So we got to keep our things in order. I ain't worried about the devil. Oh, the devil. I tell folks all the time, I go on the devil territory and take that. Hey, give me that back. You never been taking that. Oh, I ain't going over there. I ain't got, honey, you scared of the devil. That's your business. I ain't scared of him. And I tell him in a minute, I said, no. Back
Amen.
Up. And he has
Amen.
To do so. I have
Amen.
A son that he left on the street. Michael has a brother that they left on the street of Omaha, Nebraska, left him for dead. And I called, my bishop called me and said, this is what's going on. I said, Bishop, me and my other son is getting ready to get on a bus. You go over to the hospital, and you make sure it's my son, number one, because they wasn't quite sure who the person was. And then if it's him, I'm going to cry all the way on the bus from Des Moines to Omaha. I can't be crying when I walk in that hospital because I gotta stand up to the devil. He's going to try to kill my child. So you make sure. And when he picked us up at the bus station, he said, yeah, baby, that's him. I said, okay, I cried all the way to the hospital. I had cried all the way, you know, my baby and all that, you know, oh, you're on my baby. When I got to that hospital, I dried them tears. I went in there and I looked at the ID. I said, that's my son. Where is he? And they said, well, he's in the ICU. I don't care where he's at. Where is my child? Went in that room. I said, I'm drawing a bloodline around this. If you ain't saved, don't come in here. And if you got ain't got nobody saved on the floor, then you act like you saved when you come in here. I don't want nobody talking about what you did last night. I don't want no alcoholic beverages. I don't want nobody cussing and damning. I don't want none of that. Don't tell me about what you did with your man last night. When you walk in here, you act like you saved if you ain't.
Amen.
That boy right now, they told me he wouldn't see, he wouldn't talk, he wouldn't do this. That boy right now, look you right in the face. He's a little
That's
small.
Awesome.
He had a brain injury, but he's alive.
That's awesome.
The devil tried to kill him. I told the devil, you will not take my son. You will not take him.
My Lord.
He's not going to die, but he's going to live to declare the works of the Lord.
Mm.
And the African man, and that doctor told me he had been doing brain surgery for 35 years at that time. This has been 12 years ago. And he said he'd never operated on all four lobes of anybody's brain. All four lobes of Tyrone's brain had blood, pus, or whatever it is. He had to take that masses off all four lobes of his brain.
Mm.
And the devil wanted to kill him. Nope. You're not going to kill him. I got enough that's crazy. I almost crazy. That had been shot, that had both his lungs collapsed. I went right in the hospital, climbed in the bed. I told him, put me in bed right here. Oh, we can't do that. I said, I'm sleeping on this floor. I'm going to be in here with him. He will not die but live.
My Lord.
You declare the Lord. He's still living. Now, he ain't even saved, but he's still living.
My Lord.
So you have to know that you can't be backing up from the devil. And all the things you've been through, brother, that's just come to make you strong. That's all that's for.
Amen.
And thank you for being parents. Thank you, because a lot of people don't want to tell nobody they're going through in church. They don't want nobody to know, you know, because they embarrassed. Oh, honey, we go through. You went through at the nightclub. Somebody went through last night. Somebody went through at the movies.
Amen.
You know, they you go through wherever you go. And wherever you go, you're going to go through something.
Amen.
So we don't, you start off like we come to church and, oh, everything's wonderful. And the blood of Jesus. You ain't always singing about the blood.
See?
Sometimes you crying and asking
Amen.
God to cover you in the blood. Because the people that's supposed to love you have dogged you out.
Amen. Yeah.
But it makes us strong, brother. It makes us strong. It comes to make us strong. That's what it's for. Because how
Lord.
You and what is your response? Because listen, it don't matter what the other people are doing. You know, somebody else's opinion of you ain't none of your business. It ain't none of your business. Whatever they think of you is none of your business.
Man,
your business is to live for Christ and to exemplify that life of Christ that you have. And that's what
Amen.
You have done.
My Lord.
And so we are grateful today.
Man.
Because this conference here, this talk here is real talk. This ain't no fake it till you make it stuff. This is what people
mm-hmm.
face every single day in
mm-hmm.
their lives. And you have shown how you survive this kind of, and it, what you talked about was friendly fire. And there's plenty of it in the church. You're lying. It's friendly. There's a plenty of it. It's a sad thing. You hate to. You don't want. You don't like to tell people that. But we might as well be honest.
Right.
If most if you in the church and you got hurt, the sinner didn't hurt you on the street. It was somebody inside the building.
Absolutely.
So that's friendly fire.
Amen.
But it makes us strong, baby. It makes us strong. It makes us desire to do more for Christ and to make sure we're not the ones putting friendly fire on somebody else.
That's it.
Because it's a hurtful thing for somebody that you really trust and love to dog you like that. It's a terrible thing.
Mm-hmm.
But it's only for everything. All work, all things work together for good. What did the Bible say?
Amen.
It didn't say all things were good. It didn't say all things were good. But
mm-hmm.
all things work together for good to him that mm-hmm. loved the Lord and to him mm-hmm. that is called according to his purpose. And you meet both those standards. You love the Lord and you're called according to his purpose. So it was working for your good no matter how it hurt.
Oh, my Lord.
No matter what it felt like. It's working for you good.
My
no matter
God.
How it feels. And that's why we don't spend all the rest of our life being all upset. Forgive quickly. 70 times 7. Forgive them, folks. What did Jesus say? They was killing him. He said, Father, forgive them. They know not what to do. Now, unless
Amen.
Somebody's nailing you at the cross, we ought to be able to forgive these people. And some of them need forgiveness because they're in pretty bad shape.
Amen.
Because if you would betray the one closest to you, you're in bad shape. You need
Amen.
Some forgiveness. So just realize that these things do happen in church. We're not going to be trying to pretend like they don't. They do. But God has told us how to control and how to act and how to expect and what to do and how to behave and let us do what we've been taught in that Bible study in Sunday school and in the Bible and the prayer time that we spent with God. Let's act like the saints we claim to be. Let's not just have a 30-minute testimony about how wonderful we are. Let's really be saved and sanctified. How about that? That's really not, and if you really saved and sanctified, you don't have to tell nobody. People say, ooh, something different about you. Something different about you.
Yeah.
Ooh, something different about you. Ooh, I've had people, I go down to people and say, shh, here comes Sister Susie. Be quiet. Y'all stop that cussing. I said, that's right. I don't want to hear that cussing. Shut up, boy. Come here, bring your nappy here. Let me comb it. You know,
see?
They recognize the God in you.
Mm.
It's like Michael recognized the God in you, brother.
Amen.
And you have affected my son's life.
Mm.
And Michael knows how to treat people. So it takes somebody really strong to affect him because he knows how to treat. He do better than his mama with that because his mama rebuke folks. Boom, shut up. You know you ain't right. And Michael says, now come on, beloveds. Now, we have to all, let us all get along. No, not me. You know you ain't right. Satan, the Lord rebuke you.
Amen.
Get yourself together.
Mm-hmm.
So you affected him, and he's already got that gift to be able to talk to people and be know how to, and he does. He has that. That's one thing I got to give to him. And
Amen.
You affected him. That look how powerful you are, my brother.
My Lord.
Look how powerful you are. Give yourself, take your own hand, pat yourself on the back. Say, thank you, Jesus, for what you made me. Because I'm affecting lives. I'm affecting lives. And then when you get, so, because you're going to stop, listen to me. Let me just tell you plainly. There's going to be some more friendly fire. We ain't done. Because as long as we working, there's going to be somebody jealous. You think they love you, and they really jealous.
My Lord.
But it don't matter what they do. You're working for the king. You're in the kingdom.
Amen.
Kingdom work is work. It's not fun. It's W-O-R-K work. You sweat.
Mm.
You get dirty. It's work.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it's real messy.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it's real messy. But God knows we can handle it. He gives the roughest assignments to the toughest soldiers, brother.
My Lord.
March on. Do the work of an evangelist and the work of your ministry. Build yourself up. Edify the body.
Mm.
And when you see friendly fire, ask God to help you to heal quick because you ain't got too much time to hold your head down because we got too much work to do. He does give us a little time to grieve because we're human. But we can't grieve too long because somebody stole us this steak while we over here crying and they die and going to hell. We got to see about that.
My Lord.
This has been a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful thing. Michael, this was a good one. I mean, all of them been good, yep. But this is really, I like this because this is just real down to earth what really happens. And somebody's going to test this. They're going to say, Lord, I didn't know that happened. That happened to me. I didn't know. And it's going to be real life stuff. Thank you, brother, for coming and sharing. And thank you, my son, for bringing it. This has been wonderful.
Amen. Just to piggyback on what all you guys are saying, and I didn't know, but this is a segue, Tito, you want to put a pin in this. This is a segue where we're going to be going from. John, our motto this year is that sanctify me to release negativity that I may be naked with thee here in 2023. That's our motto here at the Golgotha Church of Christ because we're fighting an incarcerated mind with the incarnated Christ. And where we're at now, this has been a perfect segue because many times we're in this comfort zone where we feel safe and we're in control. And that's where we love to stay. That's like Linus with his blanket. We love to stay there. And a lot of times the church has become the comfort zone. You know, I'm this, that, and the other. And this is all I want people to see. But you have to move through the four zones in order for you to get where you need to be. So you have to come out of the comfort zone. In the comfort zone is when I feel safe and I'm in control, and then I go from the comfort zone to what's called the fear zone. I'm no longer in comfort. I have a lack of self-confidence. I'm finding excuses. I'm being affected by others' opinions. Fear zone. So after I've left the comfort zone to the fear zone, and once I'm able to move from the fear zone, I can go into a learning zone. And the learning zone is where I acquire new skills. I extend more comfort in this new zone of learning, and I can deal with the challenges and the problems that are in front of me. I'm no longer making excuses. I'm recognizing that I can learn, and I can affect my situation by changing my attitude. So I've come from the comfort zone to the fear zone to the learning zone, and then you go to the fourth zone, which is the growth zone. That's the zone where God wants us to be at, where we can now start to live dreams. We can now start to find purpose. We now can set new goals, and we can conquer our objectives. That's what Tito talked about. We are conquerors. Conquerors don't get defeated. They conquer. We're able to conquer our objectives. So life is moving through these four zones. It's comfort, fear, learning, and growth. And every opportunity, every situation we come in, we have to transgress through all these zones in order to get to where we need to be because God expects us to grow. And so, my brother, I've seen you move through these. You know, I've experienced you in the fear zone, and I've watched you come out of the learning zone into the growth zone, and you're affecting lives and conquering again. And but I'm more impressed with the fact that, you were able, because I know when I first called you about this, you're still a little apprehensive. Well, you know, I don't know what to do. Listen, I'm not going to put you in a situation that you cannot handle. And so just the fact that we just had dialogue on what's happened with our lives, man, has been a blessing that many people are going to be able to do because we need to talk. We need to talk and talk out some of our issues of life as we go forward. I want to give Tito another chance to comment on something if he's still here. Let's see. Well, yeah, he is. Tito, you there?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Yeah.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. Any comments?
I'd like to say that if you just allow me to just use a passage of scripture in Revelation 21, verse 8, allow me to exegete this text for a minute. But the fearful and the unbelieving and the adult and abominable and the murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and adulterers and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burn with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. The thing that really hit me was the fearful. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
The one who is.
Uh-huh.
God puts you in the same category as a liar.
That's right.
You know, Tim is someone who runs and hides. A liar is out there running their mouth.
Uh-huh.
Put you in the same position as a murderer.
As a whoremonger.
And the same thing as a whoremonger. And all of them are what? They're dealing socially. But someone who's timid is always looking for what? The back door. And as children of God, we can't be looking for no back door. We're not. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life.
Uh-huh.
We're the door that should be open unto salvation. Not the door that leads to isolation.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And we got too many people that will hide behind scripture, that will hide behind religion, that will hide their personalities, because they just don't want to let the true God in them be revealed. Now, notice I didn't say the true God, their true God.
Uh-huh.
And brother, we have not been called. We have not been called to be timid. And the reason why I'm saying that, this ain't pointed at nobody but myself, because there are times when life hits me. You know, the first thing you want to do is go run and hide. And I'm like, you know, run and hide for what?
Yep.
For what?
Coming out, my brother. Coming out.
We have to learn how to accept growth. Mm-hmm. We cannot be spiritual midgets and think that the world is going to grow and be blessed if we have spiritual midget mentality.
Mm-hmm.
We just can't afford that. And what's scary about when John says, look here, the timid, puts you in the same boat as those that are living a social dysfunctional life.
Yes.
So ain't no sense of you hiding, ain't no sense of us running. It's, you know, we need to learn how to dust ourselves off. Lord, here am I. I don't know what I'm equipped with,
uh-huh.
but because you are the vine, you are the source of my life.
Mm.
Yeah.
And I can't take disappointments. I can't take these little defeats and say this is of me. No, these are the stepping steps. That I use for greater heights.
Uh-huh.
And I'm grateful for leaders with vision to say, we don't know how we're going to get there, but we're going to get there.
Well, we got
that's
it.
Right.
Yeah.
Now,
that's
I will
right.
always honor faith.
Mm.
Especially when that faith is pure.
Uh-huh.
Amen. That's what I mean. I really enjoyed this, you know, what I heard. Really enjoyed it. And I'm grateful for John to come on here and always a blessing to hear Mama P, because, you know, ain't no sense you putting no stopwatch on her, because, you know, the spirit says move. And when the spirit moves, she moves.
I love it
because,
as I said before, this will be a vehicle where I can just let it roll, because, you know, we have time. We have time.
Yeah.
This is what she does. She does not accept timidity. You know, dust yourself off. Let's go. And that's how she raised all of us. Even though she didn't physically raise me, that's what she had planted in me. Spent 2 weeks with her every year until 85, and then I became hers. And that's what, you know, mm-hmm. man, there's been many times where I'm like, Lord, where are we going? What's happening here? I'm with these folks. I don't even know. It's unacceptable. This ain't what we got. This ain't what we do. This ain't what Thomasons do. And we've always had grit. And so I thank my mom. But you're right, Tito. It's emboldening. And so a lot of people push away from it because they're not ready. They're in that fear zone. They're not ready to embrace. But once you break through that fear zone and you're ready to embrace, she said the other day, she got a bite, but her, you know, her bark is worse than her bite. You know, she will embrace you, and she will definitely try to help you. I don't know anyone that will take the, they really will try to help you. And she's like the Mother Teresa in Des Moines that they all come to. They all will come to. And it's just a blessing to find out that that was my mother. That is my mother. And that sets a bar high for the rest of us to have to walk with it. So, John, Marie, we got 12 minutes left. So, Marie, you have any other comments? I'd like you to get in. And then I want to let John finish this out and maybe pray us out, if you would. Sweetheart?
No, Michael, I'm fine. Thank you. I just want to say again to John, thank you for the lesson today. It was very powerful. Thank you.
Amen. Right. God bless your heart. Amen.
Make sure you hear that.
Michael?
Okay, John. Yes, Mom.
I'm not going to hold up, I promise, but I want to say this, and I want it to be all of us to hear this. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, and of love, and of a sound mind. So if we're walking in fear, that is not God.
Amen.
Yeah.
And so when we recognize that we're not walking in God, we know what to do. Rebuke the devil, and he will flee.
Amen.
Yeah. It's a growth process that we have to go through. And fear, you know, we have to recognize fear is there. It's a defense system that's in our body.
Yeah, it is.
That's in our body that helps to protect us. It keeps us in that. That's why it's so close to the comfort zone. It's the protection. But you got to get outside of that protection in order to learn. You know, I've got another thing where it shows that, you know, we can become book smart, and you learn a lot through book smart, you know, but then you learn more through experience. The biggest thing is what your real learning comes after you've made so many mistakes, and after you the mistakes you make is really good. The quote I love about Michael Jordan. I'm always using basketball. Michael Jordan says, "People talk about my 6 championships, all the things I've done. They never speak of the 9,000 shots that I missed."
Look at that.
Yeah.
Now we need to make sure that that all encompasses who he is. But he didn't let that last shot keep him from moving on. There's another shot. There's another trophy. And sometimes God has to close some doors for us to recognize, and it's scary, but close some doors so that we learn to depend on him even more, and we can learn and we can grow. And walking through the music field, packing everything up in my 73 Buick Sabre and coming to Chicago in my hoopty, and having to make it because there was I didn't have a family that could support me. I had nothing going on. You have to make it, or it's make it or bust. And
That's right.
Yeah.
I've had an incredible career. And so, God, if we trust God, he will give him a little bit. He'll show you what to do it a little bit. You give him a lot of bit, Lord have mercy. We'll be in trouble. Okay. We got 10 minutes left. John, I want you to – yes.
Give me 1 minute. That scripture that Paul talks about Timothy about not giving the power to get the spirit of fear, I can exegete that. That is dealing with man. I ain't got no business fearing no man at all.
That's right.
Because man ain't got the power that God gives the power. Man don't have the strength or is empowered to control me or control the ministry that's in me.
Uh-huh.
And so when that intimidation, not when it comes to man. No, you have no right. And I'll say this, you have no right to be intimidated by another man, by another man's doctrine, by another man's mindset, because God is your power. And I'm out.
Amen.
Yes, sweetheart.
And then the Bible also teaches us as well, but Tito, thank you for that. The Bible teaches us that man can take away your flesh, but God can take away your flesh and your soul.
Yes. Thank you for bringing that out. You guys brought reference to Paul, who was Saul on the Damascus Road. And what he did was he was as powerful as could be. That little short run was doing all kinds of stuff. When was he fearful? When God knocked him down, blinded him. Now he has to be guided by other folks to a place, and Ananias, and be told to him what must to do. He's in his fear zone. But now, who is the very person that wrote that scripture, Tito, that was talking to fearful people, was the one that can actually has been brought through his fear zone, through a learning zone, to be able to grow and say, hey, my life is on the line, but this is, you know, God is where it's at. And when he was knocked down,
yes,
what did he do? He looked up and said, Lord, what is it you would have for me to do?
Amen.
So that's what we have to do. We have to look to God, even in our fear. See, I ain't got enough time to deal with you. You mess me up now. I ain't got enough time to deal with it. But even
Amen.
In our fear, we have to look to God in order for us to go
out. Your praise.
We only have 7 minutes left, so I definitely want the speaker of the hour to be, or of the 3 hours, to be able to have the final comments and to pray us out, if you will. So, John, I just want to thank you. The Praise God, Let's Talk About a Radio Show audience is indebted to you and is thankful for your transparency. Being vulnerable is not easy, but it is something that we need to do. We don't get all we can, sit on the can, can't get nothing out of the can. One of my preachers told me that. But we have to share. And the more we share, the more we network, the more we'll find commonality. And the more commonality we'll find more power. But, brother, it's in your hands.
Amen. Amen. So, you know, the thing, what I realize about this experience on today is the Bible says it's better to give than to receive. And if Mother Peavy mentioned about, a lot of times she mentioned how we shut down because even a lot of people that went through the slavery experience, they didn't share what they went through because of the trauma. But a lot of times, too, the reason why they didn't share is a trick of the enemy so that testimony won't get out, because the Bible says they overcame by the blood of the Lamb and the words of their testimony. And it said, and they loved not their lives unto death. So the last thing I want to say is, it's like a thread along all the things that I shared. And it's simply the point that we're also meant to be living sacrifices. And the scripture for that is Romans 12, 1 and 2. Paul said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. He's saying, be ye not conformed to the world. He's saying, but be ye transformed by the renewing of mind. So that's the point that you were talking about, TDO, and the thread with the being the spirit of fear. See, because that's what it really is, and being transformed, it's a term that I learned, and it's simply called thought replacement. So thought replacement is a tool that I learned to actually use, which simply means, okay, a perfect example of thought replacement is, say a little baby, is playing with a toy, right? If the baby is playing with a toy, and you give, say you hand another toy, what did the baby do? He drops the toy that's in his hand, right? And he picked up the toy that you have. That's a generic example of thought replacement. So we're to exercise thought replacement as believers, you know? So, and it's just a blessing
Love
to
it.
Understand exercise, because we have opportunities in life to do it. So I want to say to UPV, to Mother PV, and to Tito, the power that's actually in this vehicle, it'll take eternity to really tell just the impact. I mean, that even what I feel, I mean, even though you asked me to share, Phoebe, but with everybody else that went forward, I think I got more than I gave out. So, again,
that's
just
how we do, Doc. That's how we do.
You know what I'm saying? But I just want to just thank God. I just want to duly note that. So, on that note, let us pray. Father God, in the name of Hanarabo Soto, in the mighty name of Jesus, God, we just thank you. We praise you. We magnify. We glorify you. And we just thank you for this vehicle. We thank you, Lord, for let's talk about it because, God, we've experienced so much, Lord. But yet, God, you created a vehicle to where we can be loosed and be set free. And on that, God, we just thank you, God, because you said in your word that your word would not go out void, but it will return with what you sent it to do, and it's not by power nor by might. But it's by your spirit. In the name of Jesus, the Son of God, we pray. Thank God. Amen.
Out of this session, we're going to piggyback. Next week, we're going to do a session called Discovering Our Power. So it just came out of this session. That will be 10 o'clock. We talk about discovering our power and bring what you have and what you're in as we continue to move out of the comfort zone through the fear zone. Let's just talk. Let's just have a panel discussion next week on some things of how we can discover our power. We've all have experienced stuff, and we cannot, we have to allow ourselves to work through some of the things that we're going through so that Satan don't get the victory, but God gets victory with it. He's growing.
That's right.
He's pruning it. John, I just thank you so much just for your life and for who you are. For our relationship, God brought us together, and we're still together,
Amen.
I'm so thankful for that. When you find friends and you cultivate that friendship, it goes far beyond why you were brought together. And that's where you really see what you have. So from time to time, we call, time with experience, and we pass on and whatever else. Yeah, 90 seconds. Okay, well, I'm shutting up real soon. But we gotta, things will let us understand what we need to do and where we're going. But we just thank God for the opportunity of allowing us to experience life. Because, life will go, that biological clock will tick. We will continue to do this, and do that. But we need to recognize if we make our time count, by giving what God has given to us, that we can do some powerful things. I love you guys. I want to thank you for being with us today, those in the listening audience. And tune in next Saturday morning at 10 o'clock. I'm full right now. It's Saturday morning at 10 o'clock from 10 to 1 for the Praise God Let's Talk About It radio show. Have a great day. God bless you. In the name of the Lord.
God bless.
God bless.
All right.